Me every afternoon, 3 to 6, right here on KRXA 540. With great guests, hot topics, and a little humor, we help you navigate in today's world. More information, web streaming, and archives at peterbcollins.com. The Peter B. Collins Show, afternoons 3 to 6 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Next, for the war funding troop pullout bill, the president's veto. That's the promise from the White House.
The president's going to veto the bill and then get to work with the congressional members on the next step.
The next step, says spokeswoman Dana Perino, a bill to fund the troops without telling the enemy when we're going to quit. President Bush saying he cannot make decisions as commander-in-chief based on public opinion polls. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
The American people are calling for accountability. I hope that the president will heed their call.
CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson on what's happening behind the scenes on the Hill.
Both sides pledged the troops will get their money. Now that Democrats have made their political point, they're already writing a replacement bill, one that stands a better chance of getting the president's signature.
Speaking of public opinion polls the president does not use for direction, CBS News and the New York Times have a new Deputy Poll Director Sarah Duffy.
64% of Americans would like to see the U.S. set a timetable to begin withdrawing troops sometime in 2008, and that's up from 57% 2 weeks ago.
Former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore, declaring himself more conservative than the rest of the pack, has declared his candidacy for the Republican nomination for president.
I am a genuine conservative. I've always been that way. I've been the chairman of the RNC, a Ronald Reagan conservative all my life.
Indictments have come in Atlanta over the shooting of an elderly woman in a wrong address drug raid, and there are already some plea deals.
Officer Arthur Tesler was watching the back door during a no-knock drug raid in November when he and two other officers got into a gunfight with an elderly woman as they broke into her house. Although he faces lesser charges than the other two more senior officers, Tesler's lawyer, Bill McKinney, says Tesler wasn't at all to blame for the shooting.
He was following the instructions of his senior officers, and it was on-the-job training.
Officers Jason Smith and Greg Jr. now say they're guilty of involuntary manslaughter and other charges. Under a plea agreement, they could get 10 years in prison or more. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
Astrophysicist Stephen Hawking went to space, so to speak, today. He took a ride in the zero-gravity 727 to experience roller coaster parabolas in the air that give the occupants about half a minute of actual weightlessness each time. Hawking lives in his wheelchair with ALS, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and but for the power of his mind, his doctors say he should have died long ago. One day, he says, humankind will have to leave this planet for survival. At least, he got one taste. He was a one-hit wonder, and we hear it every year, long about Halloween.
He did the monster mash.
Bobby Pickett, doing his Boris Karloff imitation to music, took Monster Mash to the top of the charts three times, in 1962, 1970, and 73. Pickett died after a long illness. He was 69. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 15 points. Nothing scary there. 13,105 at the close. NASDAQ up 6.5 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Accord and Pilot models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, my neighbor has termites. Should I worry?
Absolutely. The fact is that termites can damage as many homes as fires.
I know it. Honey, I told you they'd ruin the neighborhood.
Who, the termites or the neighbors?
Take your pick.
Well, either way, there's no need to worry, as long as you have an Orkin Home Protection Plan.
Ooh, thank my heavens. You got anything to keep his dog off my lawn?
Different show.
Dagnabbit, I'll call back.
Okay, but for a free termite inspection, call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
The post-Katrina free housing ride is about to end.
Hurricane survivors that have been getting free housing accommodation since the storms will now have to start paying.
Beginning on March the 1st, 2008, individuals in both the rental housing, travel trailer, and mobile home programs will pay a portion of the cost.
White House recovery czar Donald Powell.
This will begin at $50 per month and incrementally increase each month after.
Powell says by March of 2009, the free housing program will come to an end. Between now and then, travel trailer residents can buy the trailers from the government. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
In Concord, New Hampshire, Dick Perkins hasn't gotten so many phone calls from young women in a long time, ever since a website accidentally put his phone number up as a connection to Brad Pitt.
I liked him in Thelma and Louise. I see his picture an awful lot when shopping. I know he's popular with people who like to buy junkie magazines.
He's 77. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
Right here.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. We got loads to talk about today and only 3 hours to do it. As usual, we will do our very best. Coming up about a half an hour, we're going to meet super lawyer Martin Garbus. He's got a powerful critique of the Robert Supreme Court. It's called The Next 25 Years. And he'll weigh in about a number of issues, including last week's Supreme Court decision regarding abortion rights and the pivotal role played by Justice Kennedy. He's no Sandy Day O'Connor. Also on today's show, about an hour from now, Scott Dick returns. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. We'll talk about General Petraeus' comments on Capitol Hill yesterday, the powerful testimony earlier this week from Kevin Tillman and Jessica Lynch. And Rudy Giuliani says, you can't trust those Democrats. They only know how to play defense. And in our third hour, as we head into the free speech zone, we're going to take a call from a caravan of progressives on their way to San Diego, the site of the state Democratic convention this weekend. Norman Solomon, who you may have seen pop up on Bill Moyers' special on PBS last night called Buying the War, he's driving that caravan. Also with him, Jeff Cohen, media critic and co-founder of FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and Tim Carpenter, the head of Progressive Democrats of America. They're all driving together to save gas. And I'm sure they'll be ready to offer some of that gas at the convention coming up this weekend as they promote progressive issues. Joining us to kick off the show is Faz Shakir. He's research director at the Center for American Progress and co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. You can be just like me. Sign up to receive it free in your email. Just go to progressreport.org. They cover top issues and give you some stunning analysis with links to the facts that you need to understand the background of the issues. Faz, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. First of all, I want to honor the correction that you guys issued because you are dedicated to accuracy. And I did notice the lead, the tagline or the subject line on the Progress Report the other day was the misspelling of credibility.
Yeah.
And you recovered your credibility by correcting that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, for our own credibility, as we said, it's important to acknowledge and explain our error, and that's what we did. And so again, a number of readers pointed that out to us, and unfortunately, It happened, and mistakes happen.
Yeah, it does happen. Well, one of the things that I have been looking for appears to have been omitted, not just from the progress report, but from most daily newspapers and from electronic news coverage, and that is that Denis Kucinich on Tuesday introduced a bill of impeachment with three counts against Vice President Cheney. And there was one story, a real smarmy piece, a dismissive item that Dana Milbank published in the Washington Post yesterday. The New York Times to date has not published one word about it. And the other paper that I read, I wouldn't call it religiously, but consistently, is the San Francisco Chronicle. And despite their, more progressive orientation, they haven't found any space for that either. And in the meantime, we've had to suffer through a lot of details about Rosie O'Donnell and whether she's in the view or out of the view. And, we've got the Phil Spector trial taking up space. Is there some reason why this is not seen as newsworthy, Faz?
I can only speak from my own perspective as to why we don't cover it, and that's because of our tax problems, which is that we have difficulty covering presidential candidates because we're a 501c3 nonpartisan organization. And, when Kucinich announced this, it was done as part of his presidential platform, and so we had a difficulty covering it, just as we do when Edwards and Hillary and Obama make their various statements to try to avoid being partisan. But as for the news media, they don't obviously have that same problem, and they haven't covered it. I saw Dana Milbank in the Washington Post did, and the way he covered it was kind of telling in itself. He mocked the whole proceeding.
Yeah, he made fun of Kucinich because he's only 5'6".
5'6", exactly. He mentioned that in the article. He mentioned that he approached the microphone kind of lower than the microphone, which nearly reached his eye level. He was mocking him. And I think that most people probably saw it as a political stunt, and that's why they didn't probably pay much attention. But nonetheless, anytime somebody files articles of impeachment, I think that it's newsworthy, certainly. And he obviously had some pretty good bases for filing them. He had three various articles to the impeachment claims. One, I think, was on the WMD. The second was on Iraq, Al-Qaeda. And the third was on Iran. So those are substantive allegations.
Well, and I understand that, it's unclear whether the Democratic leadership will ever support it. He doesn't have a co-sponsor. And it's essentially the act of one man at this point. And I can understand it. I don't think that it's necessarily front page news. But the New York Times managed to mention it on its website on Tuesday, but it hasn't found any space in the actual newspaper, even in one of those national summary squibs to say, oh, and by the way, Kucinich offered a bill of impeachment. And I, for one, believe that the charges are grounded and that they deserve to be fully investigated and that the Conyers Judiciary Committee should not be limited by the Democratic leadership. That said, there are issues that people, even those who believe that we have criminals in the White House, might have reasons to hold back from impeachment. I happen to believe it's a constitutional obligation if the, the information suggests that it should be pursued.
Yeah, it's also interesting that he's going after Cheney, too, which probably lends a bit more credence to those who want to claim that it's simply a political stunt, because obviously if you really feel all of these acts have occurred and Vice President Cheney's have been on the record, but ultimately the person who's most responsible is President Bush, and he kind of avoided that step. He also, I don't want to criticize him too much, but in announcing this, I don't think he took efforts to try to build any sort of coalition for this. I think it was really just one man, as he often is, one man leading the charge and speaking out and not really demanding that others follow as much. And he probably could have done a little bit more to try to build some support for this.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would like to have seen it a little bit more grounded and with broader support. Mm-hmm. And it does appear that there are members of the Progressive Caucus who would support it.
Right.
I'm not sure why that step wasn't taken. After all, Kucinich held off a week. He had thought about doing this last week, and because of the Virginia Tech issues, he put it off. And then he actually postponed it for a couple of hours because he thought Cheney was going into the hospital on Tuesday. But there certainly are grounds grounds to criticize the manner in which he has done this. I simply think that, you know, when Dan Burton was screaming impeachment for Bill Clinton over the Lewinsky affair, we certainly saw a hell of a lot more coverage.
And I certainly blame the media just as much as you would. And I think that had he gone through, you know, when Burton does his thing, he's always got the leadership behind him, and he's at least got a number of other people serving as echo chambers for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Kucinich perhaps might have given a few interviews to the bloggers or, you know, reached out to a few other people so that he could have gotten that echo chamber effect, maybe even gone on the Peter B. Collins Show to talk about it, those kinds of things.
Well,
to make sure it's getting out there.
He's been invited, but we've never been able to find a time, at least not in recent weeks, so we're still working on it. But, yeah, I agree that he certainly could have set that fire a little better.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about today's vote in the Senate. Two Republicans once again crossed over to support the supplemental with benchmarks and a wish for withdrawal of troops by March of 2008. The president's promising a veto. Gordon Smith of Oregon and Chuck Hagel were the two Republicans who crossed over. So there's been no real growth there. And what is your sense? Do you think that the proposal for 60-day supplementals to keep the president on a tight leash, do you think that's going to be the Democrats' next approach?
Yeah, I think that that's probably the one that has the most kind of sway right now in progressive circles. I think it could probably unify the progressive caucus in addition to the more moderates, because it of course alleviates the number one issue, which is to get money to the troops. Unfortunately, I think it takes withdrawal off the table for the next few months, but then keeps it on the table and keeps it hanging over the president's head, which is ultimately the goal, because you want to, I think, for those of us who are trying to think about this strategically, it's about keeping the pressure on President Bush to force him to do the steps that he needs to do, rather than to have Congress get blamed for doing things that it really shouldn't be doing. I mean, it is the president that needs to get control over this war. This is the war that he started, and he's got to bring it to a conclusion.
Faz, yesterday we were talking with Jeffrey Feldman, who is a George Lakoff devotee who runs Frame Shop is Open. We talk about framing and rhetoric. And one of the big failings that I put to the Democrats in this whole episode is that they continue to use the language of the White House regarding supporting the troops. Now, of the roughly $100 billion in this supplemental, only a tiny fraction of that is actually going, quote-unquote, to the troops. There's $650 million in there to deploy another carrier to the Persian Gulf. And even if you put aside the pork that the Democrats used to grease its passage, there are a lot of non-essential items in this supplemental. And for the Democrats to sit still and let the conversation all be about whether or not somebody's supporting the troops, I think that's a significant mistake.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it was also them who created those problems that you're talking about by including those provisions in the bill. And President Bush has taken advantage of that by saying they aren't really committed to funding the troops because they have all this pork in there. And it's obviously, he's used that to kind of criticize. And I think I wish that the Democrats had anticipated this a little bit better and taken those provisions out, because I think when this finally goes through after the Bush's veto, you'll see those provisions stripped out, and it will be the clean bill that we should have been pushing all along. So I think that the Democratic Party kind of holds, and the leadership holds some responsibility for including those provisions that subjected them to these attacks.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break and return with Faz Shakir, and he, of course, is from the Center for American Progress. Check out their daily progress report at progressreport.org. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free. We do take phone calls here on the Peter B. Collins Show at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security, investment, white picket fences. Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored will retake the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. Starting May 14th, The Ed Schultz Show moves to 9 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540. So join us for the best in talk radio, news, commentary, and your calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be on The Ed Schultz Show, 9 a.m. to noon, starting May 14th, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, for the clarinet stylings of Mr. Acker Bilk. That's borrowed from a Van Morrison record. Minutes after the hour, as we continue our debriefing from Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. You can get their daily progress report at progressreport.org. And I wanted to mention that within the hour, depending on where you are, you can catch the live debate from the University of South Carolina. It'll be on MSNBC featuring all of the announced Democratic candidates. And they even invited Mike Gravel. I'm glad to see that. I don't think he's going to be a contender, but I think he deserves to be heard. And so he will be a part of the event tonight if you want to check that out. That's on MSNBC. Faz, in today's progress report, you take another look at the Abramoff scandal, which has claimed its 11th Republican. He is Mark Zacharys, a former aide to Congressman Don Young of Alaska, not Arkansas.
Yeah, and the Abramoff scandal is picking up steam once again. You know, at the latter half of 2006, it was taking down congressmen left and right and causing a storm, and really contributed to the Democrats taking power. And then it went dormant for a little bit. But this week, we're hearing that John Doolittle, a congressman from California, his house has been raided because of his ties and his wife's ties to Abramoff. We're hearing about this gentleman, Mark Zacharias, who is the 11th person to be convicted in the Abramoff investigation. You have Tom Feeney, a congressman from Florida, also being wrapped up into it. So it's really gaining steam. Some have suggested that the reason it's gaining steam, however, is because the FBI is trying to push hard and show that some of these investigations against congressmen haven't been dormant as a way to alleviate the pressure on Gonzalez, which is a kind of an interesting twist.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way. I thought this was just, you know, what's actually surfacing coming through the pipeline these days.
Yeah, I think that the theory goes, and of course this is a bit of a conspiracy theory, that Gonzalez is being questioned and being criticized because they went after prosecutors who were going after Republican congressmen, and then those investigations went silent. And so now that he's under pressure, the FBI and people allied with Gonzalez are trying to show that these investigations will go forward and that they're pressing with them to try to alleviate some of that pressure.
Now, this guy Scott Block over at the White House, obviously a Bush loyalist who has been tasked to conduct a partial investigation. He's at the Office of Professional Ethics, is that it? Or
Office of Special Counsel.
Special Counsel.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out whether this was triggered exclusively by the complaint of David Iglesias of New Mexico, or if this is a cover-up attempt by the White House to say, see, we investigated this, and gosh, you know, all those missing emails are not a problem.
Well, if you believe the White House, which I know is very difficult to do, they claim they didn't know anything about this investigation. So they don't want to be seen as having been the ones who initiated this investigation. And then you had David Iglesias on MSNBC a couple of days ago saying that he was the one who initiated it because he contacted Scott Block at the Office of Special Counsel because he knew that it's their role to protect federal employees who have complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And so he issued this complaint about the fact that he may have been fired for improper reasons, the fact that they may have targeted him because of his service in the military, or they might have targeted him because of for political reasons, both of which are wrong and unethical. And so he asked them to investigate. And according to Scott Block, he's been undergoing this investigation for 3 weeks against Karl Rove, but he said he hasn't found anything yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, Faz, have you been to progressivemajority.org to put in your guess on when Gonzalez will resign so that you could win that year's supply of Ben and Jerry's?
I haven't submitted an entry, although I have seen their contest there. Have you done it yourself?
Yeah, I predicted this Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
So you got a shot. I think you got a decent shot.
Do you think that he's in the last throes of the love of Bush?
I have to say no, just because of how vehemently President Bush has come out to defend him and has really staked his own credibility on the fact that he's going to make sure Gonzalez remains in office. And knowing Bush for the past 6 years, right, we know how stubborn this guy is. And I think that inside his head, he's saying, nobody's going to push me around. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. So I think we basically have to prepare for the fact that we're going to have an incompetent attorney general with little credibility for the next couple of years.
You really think so?
Well, I don't see it's hard to see. The only way they actually change them, I guess, is if the Republicans start to really ratchet up the pressure,
mm-hmm.
or if they fear that there are electoral consequences from this. I think the electoral consequences is tangential, although we could see it maybe next year, at which point they might make a move. But right now, there hasn't been a gathering steam of Republicans. We've seen at least six, I think, by my count, who've come out, and then others who have been kind of critical, but you know, it hasn't been gathering as much steam as I thought it might.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for your views and information, and I hope you feel better, Faz.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
All right. That's Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress in Washington. We're going to take a break and return with Martin Garbus, an attorney who is predicting 25 years of the Roberts Supreme Court. Ouch. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd, the taxi driver, and today I'd like to talk about the dismissal of Judge Angel Velasquez. A judicial review committee found the judge guilty of 7 counts of willful misconduct. Specific charges include violating the probation of defendants who appeared before him without an attorney, threatening to increase jail time to defendants that ask legitimate questions, making disparaging comments about attorneys, and improperly issuing bench warrants. What I find most interesting is the response from different members of the community when asked about this decision. Several Latino politicians and a Latino defense attorney was interviewed and asked what they felt of the decision. All of the individuals believed the decision was unjust and unfairly harsh. Non-Latino individuals that were asked to comment seemed to support and understand the decision made. I would be interested to find out why opinions fell along racial lines. I'm Todd the taxi driver, and I think this is worth looking into further.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with 2 beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' 3 generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Yes, the court has been hacked. And are you ready for 25 years of the Roberts Supreme Court?
Nobody.
Joining us for this portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is Martin Garbus. He's a partner at the firm Davison Gilbert in New York. He's taught constitutional law at Columbia University, trial practice at Yale, and the National Law Journal named him one of America's top 10 litigators. He's appeared before the U.S. Supreme Court, and Newsweek once reported that he was the nation's most prominent First Amendment lawyer. Mr. Garbus, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
My pleasure.
Nice to talk with you. I commend you on a powerful book, 25 Years, the Next 25 Years, the New Supreme Court and What It Means for Americans. And last week, when the decision came down in the so-called partial birth abortion case, I was quite steamed. And as I picked up your book over the last couple of days, you sounded a theme that I had mentioned last week. And this is in regard to the confirmation hearings of Chief Justice Roberts and the newest associate, Sam Alito. You write, Roberts and Alito were more than brilliantly evasive during their confirmation hearings. They lied. They wanted the job, whether discounting their past views, forgetting them, or answering questions with skilled sophistry that befuddled most of the senators. Alito and Roberts provided unforgettable commentaries about the face of justice today, about their own willingness to sacrifice personal dignity in the service of their political causes, and on the paltry role of honesty in their performances. The extent of Roberts and Alito's deceit will be revealed when we receive their decisions. Only then will most Americans fully appreciate the brilliance of their performances at their hearings. What's your comment on the Supreme Court decision last week?
Well, I think that kind of justifies it, justifies the argument that I made. I think one of the things that happens at this nomination process is the judges swear allegiance to the whole question of precedent. They swear allegiance to the whole idea of stare decisis, the whole concept that a case decided a long time ago is going to control what happens tomorrow. And one of the questions that came up, of course, dealt with Roe against Wade, and the court, of course, or Roberts and Alito, profess allegiance to it. Yet we see in a particular case, and you can distinguish the cases, but basically it's a reversal of a decision that the Supreme Court made a few years ago, which went the other way.
The Casey case.
The Casey case. No, the Sternberg against Cathart case was the case dealing with partial birth abortion.
That's the Nebraska.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think the best way to point it out is to make a different reference. It's a case that's going to be coming down that's going to astonish people. We all grew up with Brown against Board of Education. We all grew up with the idea that the Supreme Court says the schools have to be integrated. We all grew up with the idea that when the Southern schools started to segregate, that the United States Supreme Court could step up and say, we're going to have X number of minority people, blacks, in this school or that school. And the music of that case and the lyrics of that case was that what America wanted was school integration. And no one would have thought that the great precedent of Brown against Board of Education would be overruled or in any way lessened by Roberts and Alito. And Roberts and Alito would be perfectly comfortable. The question never came up because it's so far-fetched. What the people focused on is against Roe against Wade and other stuff. But a case came up in December of this year. Last year, it was argued. And what happened in that case, we were dealing with a Louisville and a Kentucky, Louisville and a Seattle school board. And what the school board said was that our particular areas are becoming segregated. They're becoming segregated because of housing patterns, because of economic patterns. And we, says the school board, these are parents voluntarily working together, saying we want to have these schools integrated. We believe there should be integration in the United States. We believe that the United States Supreme Court, since 1954, over 50 years, has said that schools should be integrated. So we will create this plan to send this kid to that place, or this kid to that place, and all the parents agreed to it, and the kids agreed to it. And then the case was challenged. The Louisville plan was challenged. The Seattle plan was challenged. And when it was challenged, the circuit court said that, no, these plans are fine. These plans further Brown against Board of Education. They further the whole idea of having integrated schools, well. The Supreme Court heard the case on December 6th, and what the Supreme Court is going to do is to reverse the lower court decisions of that case, and it's going to say that parents cannot voluntarily decide to have their schools integrated. The Supreme Court is going to say it, when you start to use black or white and say this kid should go to that school, that kid should go to that school because of race, then that's impermissible. And therefore, parents cannot voluntarily decide to have integrated education because the Supreme Court will say it violates the Constitution. Now, that's the exact opposite of what Brown against Board of Ed was dealing with. And the values and the morality of Brown against Board of Ed is exactly opposite to the way this Supreme Court is going to rule in those two cases. This is not wild speculation. You could watch the argument on December 6th. You could read it. And that case is going to come down in a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole idea that Brown against Board of Education could be eviscerated, nobody even discussed that. And the real reason is that precedent doesn't mean that much. And what happens is when judges say, I will follow precedent, I will follow precedent, all that means is if the exact same case comes up on the exact same facts, then we may be bound by a particular case. But there is never an exact same case with the exact same facts. And therefore, there are very, very few cases that cannot be avoided. So the Supreme Court is now going to be changing 50 years of American law, and is basically going to end integrated education in the United States. And it's a remarkable event. Not that many people have paid attention to it because there's so much focus on Roe against Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of the areas. I mean, I could go and list 5, 6, 7, 8 areas when Robertson and Alito say that they believe in, let's say, environmental protection, or that they don't believe in ripping, changing the previous law, which gave the federal government such and such powers, that they were aware, they knew, cases are going to come up where they're going to do exactly that. And I can tell you 5 or 6 cases where that have been argued, where they're going to do it, and I can tell you more cases that have not yet come up where they're going to do it. So what you're going to see in the next 25 years, and the reason I use 25 years, is I think it's being conservative, if you will,
yeah,
because you're looking at the three youngest judges on the court. That's Roberts, Alito, and Thomas, 51, 56, 57. Judges now sit for very long periods of time.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have judges sit for 34 years, 33 years, sometimes 36 years. So those three, that conservative core, is going to be there for a long, long time. The two oldest judges are Stevens and Ginsburg. Ginsburg is 73, Stevens is 86. You talk, the highest likelihood then is that the two oldest judges will be stepping down at some time. They may even step down or may die during the Bush, this particular Bush administration.
Yes, indeed.
Then you have the four judges in the middle, and the four judges in the middle, are split. But if you were to look at and make a projection, you have three people who are there for the next X number of years. In addition to that, you have Kennedy, and then you have Scalia. So you have a solid block of five judges. Scalia is 69, Kennedy is 70. Let's assume they sit for 15 years, which is normal at this point,
right,
in American history. So those five judges, irrespective of what happens, control the court. And as I said, the highest likelihood is that the two losses will be the liberal losses. So when I'm talking about the next 25 years, that's realistic. That's not exaggerated. That's not polemical.
And this court is hard right and highly activist, despite denunciations of activist judges that come from the president who appointed these guys, and from even Justice Roberts' remarks at his own confirmation. These people are not shy about really creating new areas of law, and you properly in your book decry the 2000 decision in Bush versus Gore.
Right. I think that the whole question of activists and restrainists, or this is, I'm for activist judges when they vote my way. I'm for judges who use restraint when they vote the other way. So these judges define themselves as activists or restrainists, if you will, depending on what they want to do politically. And these are just labels that really don't mean anything. The most active court in American history, if you define by active as a court that overrules Congress, then the most active court in American history has been the Rehnquist Court. And it was the last 10 years of the Rehnquist Court. Now, Alito is far more radical, radical right, than was Rehnquist. Roberts is a guy who has really gotten away with an extraordinary amount. Russ Feingold voted for him. A lot of other Democrats voted for him. And they said, this is a man who we think is not of the extreme so-and-so, and we respect him so-and-so. Had they read his decisions, they would have seen it's not so. And if they're paying attention to what he's been doing over the last months and years since he's gotten there, they would recognize that he is turning out to be the most conservative judge. He gets there in a different way than Scalia or Thomas. But he gets there nonetheless.
Yes, he reaches the destination almost unfailingly.
And what he does, because he's very politically smart, he's talked about two things. First of all, he talks about consensus. He says, well, this should be a more convivial place, and this should be a place where we should all be able to agree, et cetera, et cetera. And there have been people who followed the court, Jeffrey Rosen, said, isn't this wonderful? Here's a man who is going to lead us with consensus. We're going to have 9-0 decisions, 8-1 decisions. He has been writing the most, and it's nonsense. Scalia is not, neither Scalia, neither the conservatives, nor the liberals are going to give up their positions merely so they can have some kind of consensus. The issues are real. People feel deeply about it. So the whole idea that you're going to have consensus, which is one of Roberts' PR ploys, is nonsense, but a few people have believed it. The most acerbic decisions in dissent have been Roberts. And Roberts also understands the whole question of overruling and not overruling cases. You don't have to overrule cases in order to change the way the country is going. For example, it had always been the law that when there was an issue dealing with religion, that a taxpayer could come into court, and that taxpayer could say, listen, I don't think you should build the creche or the cross or the tabernacle in a particular school. You shouldn't use federal monies to that particular religious person. And then you had an object. And then you would have an argument in court. But the basic key was getting into court. The basic key was giving someone the right to get into court. And the way you get the right to get into court is you have standing. So up until recently, one had the right to go in, you or I, could go in and challenge something where federal funds were being used to establish or support one religion or another. Roberts changed that. In a 5-4 decision, the holding was that merely being a taxpayer was not enough to give you standing to challenge that.
Mm-hmm.
So the effect of that little minor decision, standing, means that you're basically giving a blank check to the federal government to pour monies into churches. What people are also unaware of is in the last 4 to 5 years, more money has gone into churches from the federal government than in all the previous years of this country because of Bush's faith-based initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a case going up to the United States Supreme Court challenging the faith-based initiative, and it's going to lose, basically. Not basically, it's going to lose. And the whole idea that, I don't know how many people know, I know you have a very sophisticated audience.
Well, we hope.
And I'm not sure how many people know what the faith-based initiative is and what it does. Let me just give you an example.
Let me ask you to hold that thought because I'm late for a break here, and we'll pick up there as we continue. Martin Garbus is our guest. His book, The Next 25 Years, is recently published, subtitled The New Supreme Court and What It Means for Americans. More coming up next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Tom Hartman.
That his goal was to create what he refers to as, using Karl Rove's words, a permanent Republican majority. That is referred to in other countries as single-party rule.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
That's what you have, you know, with Mr. Gaddafi. You have single-party rule. It's what you have in Egypt, Saudi Arabia. It's what you had in the Soviet Union, single-party rule. And that's what these guys are trying to create.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyet. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending a military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women for men.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the top of the hour. My guest is attorney Martin Garbus, and his powerful new book is entitled The Next 25 Years, The New Supreme Court, and What It Means for Americans. Let me lift one more quote. Scalia, Thomas, and Rehnquist, and Roberts and Alito, in their circuit court decisions, use words and terms like textualist, judicial restraint, and stare decisis when it suits them, when it does not. They assert the court and the president's rights over the rights of Congress. The claim that Roberts favors judicial caution is inaccurate. Roberts favors judicial restraint when it comes to interfering with state court criminal convictions. He does not favor judicial restraint where Congress has passed laws he disagrees with. He does not favor judicial restraint when it comes to giving the president the broadest of powers. The separation of powers doctrine has been severely limited. I think that's a very, very fair statement and something people should think about. Martin Garbus, you wanted to continue your commentary about a case about the faith-based initiative.
A wonderful reader.
Oh, okay. You wanted to complete a thought, though, about the faith-based
initiative.
Yeah,
about the faith-based initiative. The way it works, and I'll be brief because I know we're coming to the end of the segment, our case is, let's say, against the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army used to get federal funds, still gets federal funds. The law had been, if you get federal funds for a religious organization, then that organization cannot proselytize. So if they're taking in the homeless children or homeless men, or if they're dealing with drug addicts or adopting programs, whatever it is, they can't proselytize. They can't espouse their religion. They can't make as a condition of you getting a free meal or as a condition of you sleeping in the shelter that you have to go to prayer sessions. They can't put up on their walls crosses or churches. What the faith-based initiative means is it changes all that. So now you can have federal funds in religious organizations that where the religious organizations can now proselytize, make it as a condition of, let's say, the kid on welfare, the kid who's getting benefits, or the homeless person, or whatever, make it as a condition of that kid getting these federal funds that he listens to prayer meetings, or that he swears an oath to some particular religion. What it also means is people like the Salvation Army, because they are religions, are free to fire homosexuals, Jews, or whatever. In other words, there's no law that requires them to be an equal employment entity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're now using federal funds, which allows them to discriminate and violate the employment laws, and at the same time they use these federal funds to advance their religion. It's an absolutely extraordinary development. The amount of money is enormous. There's a wonderful writer called Marsha Hamilton. She was Judge O'Connor's secretary, and she has written a book called From Gavel to God, and a number of books where she details the money flow in the United States and where it goes. And again, it's one of these things, like all things that go on in Washington, it's hard to trace. It's hard to trace the money. It's hard to see the enormity of it.
Yeah. Martin Garbus is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You commented a few minutes ago about the role of Justice Kennedy and the split decisions of this court. Linda Greenhouse affirms that in today's New York Times. With at least 2 months to go before the current term ends, the court appears to have entered a particularly contentious period. Of the 10 decisions handed down so far this month, 8 were decided by a majority of just 5 justices. Underscoring his position at the center, Justice Kennedy was in the majority in all 10, while Chief Justice Roberts was in the majority in just half of that number of 10. So it does illustrate that, and we don't have time.
What it means is that Kennedy, of course, as you're saying, I just want to interrupt because there's a whole misconception about Kennedy. The whole idea is that Kennedy, as O'Connor's successor, is a swing judge. I mean, he is a swing judge, but the idea is that he is as liberal, let's say, as O'Connor was perceived to be, which she wasn't. But Kennedy is very, very far from O'Connor.
Yeah.
Kennedy is very different than O'Connor on many, many different issues.
And you really nail that in your book, and I want to commend it to people for that purpose alone, just understand the role of Kennedy and that he is a swing vote, but he's swinging to the right. Now, just 2 minutes remaining, Mr. Garbus, and I wanted to ask you to comment on what I see as the creeping police state. In your book, you address Guantanamo, torture, the Military Commissions Act, the spying by the NSA, the obvious and admitted violations of the FISA law on a repeated basis by this administration. And I ask you, given your prediction about this court and its rightward tilt for at least the next 25 years, how are we going to regain the constitutional rights that have been sacrificed in the last few years alone?
I don't know that we're going to regain them in the next 25 years. If I could just talk about, let's say, Nancy Pelosi, she knew about, you know, she was given all the information, basically, about what she and other Democrats.
Yeah, she was on the Intelligence Committee.
Yeah, she was given information about what was going on, and she signed off on it. The only time she got upset by it was more recently when it became, you know, kind of a political issue. But for many years, many Democrats knew about a lot of the stuff that was going on. I think Congress will look after itself, but when you're talking about ordinary citizens, I think there's an extraordinary insensitivity. I think the Democrats will, certainly like the Republicans, get cowed by the whole idea of terror, war, treason, you know, all that kind of stuff that the Cheneys and the Bushes and the Rumsfeld had tossed around. They tossed around it less now, but still there's this paralyzing fear within many Democrats.
And we can't rely on the hopes of Arlen Specter and others that the court would rectify the unconstitutional acts of the Congress.
Absolutely not. Arnold Specter was, after all, the man who vilified Anita Hill. And, you know, Arlen Specter has a long, long history. The fact that he now appears to be a semi-centrist person only shows you where the country has gone.
Yeah. Martin Garbus, a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for a great book.
Thank you.
All right. Again, the book is called The Next 25 Years, The New Supreme Court and What It Means for Americans. Our guest has been Martin Garbus, G-A-R-B-U-S. The book is out from Seven Story Press in hardcover right now. Coming up next, we talk military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. And you can call in on the Peter B. Collins Show at 888-5-PETER-B. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Senate follows the House calling for a withdrawal date from Iraq.
By a vote of 51 to 46, the conference report is adopted.
And the commander of U.S. troops in Iraq pulls no punches.
The situation is, in short, exceedingly challenging.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. A wartime standoff between the president and Congress over when to bring troops home from Iraq. The Senate followed the House today in tying a deadline for withdrawal to war funding. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
For a president that took us to war under false pretenses, he now needs the courage to admit his policies have failed and work with us to bring the war to a responsible end.
With more, here's CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson.
The $124 billion bill sets a goal of beginning troop withdrawals by this October, sooner if key benchmarks aren't met. Before combat units are deployed, the president would have to certify to Congress that they're fully mission capable and then wait 15 days, and deployments are limited to 1 year.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House, where the bill is viewed as defeatist legislation that sets a date for surrender in Iraq. President Bush will, as repeatedly promised, veto it. The question is when. Democrats may delay delivery of the bill until Tuesday, fourth anniversary of a speech declaring that major combat operations in Iraq had ended. Spokeswoman Dana Perino finds the timing suspicious.
I think that if that's true, that it is very troubling that that Democrats would be so cynical to use our troops in that way.
But once the veto is cast, President Bush will then try to get Congress to send him a war funding bill he can't sign.
A CBS News New York Times poll shows most Americans favor a timeline for withdrawal. As to who should set it, Deputy Director of Survey Sarah Dutton.
In general, when there are disagreements between President Bush and Congress over the troop levels in Iraq, Americans want Congress to have the final say. 57% say that. 35% want President Bush to have the final say.
The commander of U.S. forces in Iraq, General David Petraeus, told reporters at the Pentagon today there will likely be more combat and more casualties.
Because we are operating in new areas and challenging elements in those areas, this effort may get harder before it gets easier.
Now this.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time professional-looking documents. And Work-Life Rewards members receive 15% back on qualified design, print, and ship depot purchases. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's a typical day in every way. Work, stress, pressure. And then at night, you're thinking about tomorrow.
I just can't sleep.
Put your day away, the Unisom way. Unisom is clinically proven to ease you into your healthy sleep cycle so you get to sleep faster and sleep longer. You'll wake up refreshed, revitalized, restored.
So how is everybody today?
Tonight, get ready to take on your day the Unisom way. Use as directed.
Vice President Dick Cheney is at this hour delivering the commencement address at Brigham Young. His visit led to a protest there, an unusual occurrence on that campus. Correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
This is the first sanctioned political protest on the campus in 15 years. This is being sponsored by the Student Democrats. They say just the fact that they're having a protest shows that even in conservative Utah, there is growing support against the war.
The Democratic presidential candidates will square off in a debate tonight. They will likely stand together, though, on the war. Here's correspondent Peter Mayer.
The nation's top issue, the Iraq War, is expected to be the leading issue at this first Democratic debate. South Carolina Democratic Chairman Joe Irwin admits this event, like the start of the campaign itself, is early. But 9 months before the first votes are cast, he says South Carolina will play a key role on the heels of balloting in Iowa and New Hampshire.
Right after South Carolina and before the next week in California and other places, I think it will start to winnow down the field.
Tonight's debate will see the Democratic contenders test the political waters and each other in what amounts to a warm-up for Campaign 08. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Orangeburg, South Carolina.
The commander of New Mexico's National Guard wants an apology from Army officials after the soldiers in his mostly Hispanic unit, while in Kuwait, were ordered to strip down and were searched for gang tattoos. Jack Valenti has died, the announcement coming from the Motion Picture Association of America, which he headed for 38 years. He was 85, just released from a Baltimore hospital after being treated for a stroke. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Accord and Pilot models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, my neighbor has termites. Should I worry?
Absolutely. The fact is that termites can damage as many homes as fires.
I know it. Honey, I told you they'd ruin the neighborhood.
Who, the termites or the neighbors?
Take your pick.
Well, either way, there's no need to worry, as long as you have an Orkin Home Protection Plan.
Ooh, thank my heavens. You got anything to keep his dogs off my lawn?
Different show.
Dagnabbit, I'll call back.
Okay, but for a free termite inspection, call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
How close?
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we talk military and veterans issues. With our official contributor on these subjects, Scott Dick. He served in the Marines, I always have to get this straight, and then retired from the Army as a major.
People moving up, people moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
And I, boy, and I, a 242, vote for me, and I'll set you free. Teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, diminution, obligation to my nation.
That takes us back a war or two. Some Electric Motown from 1970. It's The Temptations, and it's called Ball of Confusion. Scott Dick, welcome to the PBC show today.
Thanks, Peter.
How's it
glad
going?
To be here.
Well, good, and it's good to have you, and I'll just mention, so people don't think that you were snatched away or subjected to some sort of extraordinary rendition, but Scott's going to hit the road on maneuvers for the next 3 weeks, and so this is his last visit for a while, and he's off on to maneuvers in Germany, one of his favorite places. So, Scott, a lot going on in the news, of course. Why don't we start with General Petraeus, who came to Capitol Hill yesterday. And one of the things I'd like your commentary on is, you know, what it takes for the politicians to force a general to use their talking points. And we're hearing Petraeus and others say that this battle over the supplemental funding for the war in Iraq is going to cause problems in funding operations. And he was more explicit yesterday and suggested that key elements of the surge or other efforts that are already underway in Iraq could be sharply impaired if Congress doesn't appropriate the money on the president's terms and soon. But we hear from other analysts like the Congressional Budget Office that there's enough money in the pipeline well into July. And so it appears that Petraeus is arguing political points, not military points.
Well, the generals at the Pentagon are their politicians. Everybody recognizes that. We talk about the politicians in the big house or in the ivory tower, and it's no surprise that as the senior military mouthpiece for the Bush administration, that's just the party line. Nobody's going to let him go to Capitol Hill and say, we're good until June, although that's what the Pentagon said last week. And in fact, if people know their history or listen to us last time, Peter, they know that the Republican Congress last year didn't submit their funding bill until June. So it's just a bunch of hype and nonsense coming out, as usual, out of the administration.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that it undermines his credibility, or is this just kind of business as usual?
It does both. With the troops on the ground, the guys who really know how to separate the BS from fact, they hear that, and I think that to them is more disturbing than what the Democrats are doing, because the Democrats are expected to do that, but our senior generals who are in charge of Iraq are not expected to go and basically tell little white lies for the administration.
Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from Petraeus. I'm not going to get into the minefield of discussions about various legislative proposals. I don't think that's something military commanders should get into. But then he basically did that.
Yeah, see, that's trying to inoculate the audience from the fact that to keep them from really understanding what it is that he's actually doing, and that's getting involved in the minefield of the politics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his basic mantra is give the surge a chance.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying that, as I predicted and said on your show, Peter, that there's no way they could beam those additional troops to Baghdad. They're fully not going to be in place until June, and they want until August to evaluate it. Well, why not give the Democratic Congress something that they want? If they can evaluate the surge as being successful by August, then why not go along with the bill as it's written? Because they could declare the whole war a success and get out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, there are all kinds of conflicts here. On the one hand, the president says that, you know, it's bad for the troops for Congress to put strings on this appropriation. Then we hear Gates in Baghdad just last week telling the Iraqis that, hey, you know, that Congress, they're about to cut off money, and you guys better get your act together. And that is played as a positive.
Peter, that's a lie from the president. What's bad for the troops is having their arms and legs and hands and feet blown off. The money's going to continue to flow. Nobody's going to cut off funds for the troops.
Well, and the phrase you just used is one that sets off little, not alarms, but a reaction in me. Because I've heard too many Democrats, you know, falling into the trap of using this language. Because out of the $94 billion that would actually be used at the Pentagon, you know, much of it would never touch a troop in any way, shape, or form. And a lot of it goes for hardware. It goes for deployment of an additional aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf. $10 million is in there for the propaganda arm, the Al Hura television system there in the Middle East. And so it's a phony argument that all of this money is for the troops. And I'd love to see the Democrats pare it back and say, well, here's what we really need for the troops, Mr. President. And that number might be $20 or $30 billion, but it's certainly not $94 billion just to get us to the end of this fiscal year in October.
Exactly. And I'd like to see them defund the mercenaries. I think that would be step number one. How many tens, 20s, 30s, $50 billion could we save if we defunded them? And we know that you had somebody on last week that was talking about the numbers and the sheer size. We have about 250,000 troops if we count mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of troops. And we still aren't winning. And yet the way that that Fallon has come up and said that the surge could be the last chance for Iraq. Well, what do you think about that? Isn't that like stating the obvious?
Yep.
We have a four-star admiral saying, well, the surge could be the last chance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes me laugh.
Now, here's another look at the supplemental. This is a quote from Ryan Alexander, the president of Taxpayers for Common Sense, a nonpartisan federal budget watchdog group. Since 9/11, Congress has passed one emergency bill to cover war costs, making supplemental spending the method of choice for the majority of funding for operations in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the so-called War on Terror. Of the $510 billion spent thus far, $331 billion, about 65%, has come from supplementals. If the so-called bridge fund included in this fiscal 2007 appropriations bill is included, then that total rises to $401 billion. That means that nearly 80% of all funding for these wars was the result of emergency and supplemental spending, not regular budgetary means. And I think that's another important issue, is that by now, they should be able to budget the cost of the war, or at least most of it, in the annual appropriation for the Pentagon, and not continue to use these Enron Band-Aids.
It's just budget sleight of hand. They decided to pay. When I first came in the military, the bonuses were at the pay raises were in October 1st, the beginning of the new fiscal year, and then through some budget sleight of hand, they changed it to January. And in this year, a lot of troops got raises on January 1st, and then they changed it to increase and add more bonuses in April 1st. So it's budget magic. In other words, they don't want to put the numbers up there and let the American people see how hideous an amount of money that they're spending, which everybody, I predicted, you predicted, that it was going to cost a lot more than I think their original cost was $180 billion once they get the oil pipeline going.
Right, yeah.
And they're going to measure success in terms of they just keep, it's a moving target, and now PACE is saying there's going to be a two-part metric. And that's going to, they're going to use that to gauge the effectiveness of the ongoing surge. Mm-hmm. And it's, do the people feel more secure than they did before? And something else is just as ridiculous.
Right. Well, and you pointed out that they're asking now to just get to August. They're going to reevaluate the surge in August. Well, this has been the process all along. Just buy time, gum it to death, and try to push everything back as far as possible. And there is never a day of reckoning. We never have people stand up and say, excuse me, Mr. President, this is the 16th deadline that you have blown past, and things are getting worse.
Well, that's because we have a gutless mainstream corporate media. And just like the ones who refused to cover the impeachment hearing or meeting or rally, whatever they called it, yesterday, they don't want to ask those questions. Like this constantly changing metric of success in Iraq, it's going to be interesting to see in 5 years, if we're out of there, what the books are going to say and what the right-wing nuts are going to write and what reasonable people, historians, are going to write about how this, any observers of this conflict had to wear a neck brace because of the whiplash.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. If you have a comment or a question on military or veterans issues, this is a great time to bring it on. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking these issues this entire hour, so get on the line now and we'll get to you shortly. 888-573-8372. You can also drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Commentary and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, one of the top real estate investors from Spokane, Washington will be joining us, Brian Main. If you want to know what the market's like in Spokane, Washington and the Dominican Republic, this is the show for you. Call Brian now at 509-599-4455. That's 509-599-4455 for more information on two of the hottest areas in investing, Spokane, Washington and the Dominican Republic. That's this week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest information. Need to tell you that, let's take a look at what's going on here. CHP telling us about a problem in Chular Canyon Road at Old Stage. It's a vehicle that went into a ditch, landed in a field. CHP should be on scene by now. Other than that, no other major stalls or accidents to get worried about, so let's hit you with a little bit of road work. Let's talk a little bit about Salinas, southbound 101 at North Main. The off-ramp will be closed from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday, April 26th. That'd be today. And also from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday. That'd be tomorrow for curb and sidewalk work, the dreaded curb and sidewalk work. Yes, indeed. And we're going to let you know that this report is brought to you by the Toyota Prius. Toyota Prius with an EPA 60 miles per gallon in the city. Visit your local Toyota dealer and find out why the Prius is more people would say they would buy again. Prius, yes.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues 21 minutes after the hour. We're with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. If you have a comment or a question, you can bring it on toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And Scott, next, I want to talk about a couple of areas where the Maliki government in Baghdad is picking up some really bad behavior from the Bush administration. Number one here, this broke about a week ago. Suspicious of Iraq's CIA-funded National Intelligence Agency, members of the Iraqi government have erected a shadow secret service that critics say is driven by a Shiite agenda and has left the country with dueling spy agencies.
the Minister of State for National Security, a Shiite, has built a spy service boasting about 1,200 agents out of a second-tier ministry with a minimal staff. And it appears that, there's also this shadow group. That kind of reminds us of the pre-war intel where we had the Pentagon with its Office of Special Plans saying, ooh, Saddam has biological, chemical, and nuclear ambitions. And, of course, all the other intelligence agencies were saying, huh? Bill Moyers did a great job on public television last night of laying that out.
Well, Peter, their democracy is the one we're exporting to them is the one where they just mimic what we do. And we have shadow upon shadow upon shadow of intelligence organizations run around the United States. I mean, who's ever heard of who really knows anything about the NSA? I mean, their wiretapping made them famous.
Right.
But they're a brilliant organization who spends hundreds of billions a year. What about the National Reconnaissance Office? We have spy agencies all over the place, and sometimes they spy on each other. I mean, how many times have we heard about the CIA doing its thing and the FBI finding out about it and then trying to de-sting him? Would that be it? Re-sting him? Becoming involved in a U.S. government sting on a sting? I mean, there was a case of a state trooper applying for a CIA position. This is about 10 years ago, and he'd been falsifying evidence to convict basically innocent people. It took 18 months for the CIA to report that to New York bureaucrats.
Mm-hmm.
So they do what they want. And so the fact that the Iraqis are establishing their own intelligence agencies to watch other intelligence agencies, because that's really what they're going to do,
right,
and have their own budget and be big men on campus, is like, well, we're doing that already. It's no big deal.
The other area of emulation, if you will, between Baghdad and the U.S. Has to do with treatment of detainees and counting the dead. The United Nations today released a report, actually it came out yesterday, accusing the Iraqi government of failing to seriously address problems of detainee abuse, including torture, and to ensure the timely and fair prosecution of detainees. Last week, The Times did a great job, a lengthy story, about an Iraqi who had been captured, detained, and then he was beaten with electrical cords until he served up what was described as very valuable information about an Al-Qaeda safe house and who the players are and what they were planning to do next. And it put the U.S. in a very uncomfortable position because they wanted the intel, but they didn't want to get it as a result of torture, or at least not publicly acknowledged torture.
Well, they learned it from us. I mean, remember, according to Gonzalez and the Bush administration, the Geneva Convention is quaint. And, you know, as far as the Shia Muslim government is concerned, if they torture somebody, at least they're not dead in a ditch someplace.
Yeah.
Would be their response, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
I like, however, the fact that, once again, our own Pentagon is playing with numbers. And, of course, the surge is being touted as working because there are fewer car bombings, and then we find out, they're just reporting less of them, fewer of them. That's the way you get the numbers down.
Well, and let's see, suicide bombings have increased 30% over the past 6 weeks despite the so-called surge of U.S. forces.
Well, that's because they don't count, Peter. That's why they don't count suicide bombings anymore in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And deaths from car bombings and improvised explosive devices increased from 361 in December to 520 before dropping to 323 in March. So it's an accounting trick like they're doing with the budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Iraqis are playing games with the numbers of their own dead. They did not release figures for March or this part of April, and the UN took them to task. And Iraq is saying that, that's meddling in our affairs. But if the U.S. refuses to count civilian casualties and Iraq refuses to count them, do they think that we can't even add up the daily toll that is published in the newspaper every day?
It's the body count is supposed to be. One of our congresspeople, I forgot who it was, said body count is no way to judge success. And I totally agree with that. That was something that the military put their foot down after Vietnam, said we're not going to ever judge a conflict again by body count. Well, that's exactly what they're doing now. It only took 20 years to fall back on that promise. And what's more, if there's a continuing vicious cycle of lies and counter lies. You got Ryan Crocker, who's the ambassador in Iraq, saying that the bombings are a reaction to the surge. And then, and his quote is beautiful, terrorists like Al-Qaeda would make their own surge, but it's nonsense anyway. Then they said, U.S. officials have said they don't expect a security plan to stop bombings. What's the security plan supposed to do then, Peter?
Yeah.
I don't understand. We got a surge, putting 20 or 30,000 more troops to make people in Iraq more safe. That's the whole purpose. That was what they said their mission was going to be. They're going to go in and clean out the insurgents and the terrorists, but we don't expect to stop the bombings.
Well, the common statement in Washington these days is that the surge is supposed to give the Maliki government breathing room. We just don't know if they're breathing in or out, or you know, exactly what they will do with that. You know, the thought is that it's supposed to let them consolidate power, but it appears that it's simply a cover for more intercultural warfare there. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. Lines open if you'd like to talk with us. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Chrysler Crossfire LTD Roadster, an impressive little sports car with great styling and a beefy six-cylinder engine. My Crossfire demo drew lots of attention, and fortunately, it wasn't from the Highway Patrol because I had a hard time staying under the limit. The six-speed manual transmission performs very well, and second gear has lots of headroom as you accelerate, but offers less compression braking on hills and back roads. The convertible top resembles the Mercedes SLK system, which is complicated and could require maintenance. My only problem is the snug cockpit where my left shin made contact with the bottom of the dashboard when I shifted. This is common in the small roadsters. By the numbers, the 2007 Chrysler Crossfire gets about 17 miles in the city, 25 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $41,000.
Why all this talk of redeployment may end up being just that. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. In the debate over attaching strings to the money for Iraq, the real fight is over the spin, because Democrats will tell you that ultimately the president's going to get that money without strings. So, since the money's coming eventually, the debate is actually about the debate itself and whether it's helping or hurting. Republicans say the debate is a gift to Osama and sends a terrible message to the troops. Democrats say the debate is putting pressure on the Iraqi parliament to reach the political settlement everybody admits is the ultimate solution. But the president will eventually get a bill he can sign. And the reason will be General David Petraeus, the man in charge of the surge. Petraeus is considered a straight shooter, and Wednesday he gave members of Congress what both sides described as a candid briefing. In that briefing, he acknowledged problems, especially in stopping Al-Qaeda-sponsored attacks. But talking to reporters afterwards, he also brought up something which is going to make it very difficult for this Congress, and maybe even the next Congress, to pull out American troops.
We have learned a great deal more about Iranian involvement, very nefarious involvement involving funding, training on Iranian soil, advice, and the provision of, again, lots of arms and ammunition, including these explosively formed projectiles that have been so lethal against some of our armored vehicles.
It would be one thing to leave Iraq and see a civil war break out, but it would be quite another for the winner of that civil war to be Iran. Now this.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From April 26th to the 30th, save 25% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save 15% on Duration Home and Duration Exterior Coatings. And save 25% on select wall coverings, too. So hurry in. Sale ends Monday, April 30th for painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated,
really,
and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We're cruising along on a Thursday afternoon. Scott Dick is with us, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Phone lines are open if you want to join us. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, the campaign is heating up already, and the primaries are, 11 months away. The Democrats are facing off in South Carolina this evening, and MSNBC is carrying that coverage right now if you have access to a TV with a cable connection. And there's going to be a Republican debate, I guess, in a week or two, and we'll have to see how that goes. But, Scott, we have one Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, who is, according to the polls, the front-running Republican right now. Polls released yesterday showed that the gap between McCain and Giuliani has narrowed by about 6 points. But he still is, so far, the front-runner for Republicans. And on Tuesday night, he gave a speech saying that Democrats do not understand the full nature and scope of the terrorist war against us, and that if they're elected, the U.S. will suffer more losses. And he went on to say that the fight against terrorism is the defining conflict of our time. If a Democrat were elected president, he said they would wave the white flag in Iraq, cut back on surveillance of terrorists, restrict the ability of law enforcement officials to gather intelligence, and limit interrogation techniques, curtailing their effectiveness. Make no mistake about it, Giuliani said, Democrats want to put us back on defense. What's your reaction, Scott?
He sounds very much like a pompous windbag. That really, I don't even know where to begin. So what he's saying is that when a Republican administration takes over, they get all of the pros and the experts that are buried down in the Pentagon and in the FBI and in the CIA that were subdued and suppressed under the last Democratic regime, and that they allow that cream of the crop to rise to the surface and then create all these wonderful programs to catch terrorists. Well, what happened was the administration was in power, and we were attacked during a Republican administration who was busy chopping wood and reading, bedtime stories, basically, as well as the cronies from the Bush administration did nothing except pad their own pockets and ride in limos as a thanks for raising $100,000-$200,000 for the campaign. Giuliani has not done anything or said anything to set him apart from this Republican cronyist criminal mechanism of government. So he's saying a lot of crap, and Democrats ought to take him apart bit by bit by just pointing to the Republicans that have been put in prison because they've been feeding off the government trough and Abramoff's. I get frustrated, Peter, mm-hmm. because he's an idiot and he's pandering to the lowest common denominator.
Barack Obama said Giuliani is taking the politics of fear to a new low. John Edwards called the remarks divisive and just plain wrong. Now, let's take them apart here. This one paragraph from Giuliani. If a Democrat were elected president, he said, they would wave the white flag in Iraq. Now, first of all, whose war is it?
And it's Bush's Republican war, and he waved the victory flag in May 1st, 2003, 4 years ago.
Yep.
Mission accomplished. So who's lying? We're still in a conflict where we're losing soldiers every day. We lost 20, well, we lost 10 last week alone in one attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so Giuliani is, it's a Republican conflict, and if you look at just some of the sound bites, you read this absolute idiocy that panders to the 35% of the American population that still supports Bush. Rogers, a Republican from Kentucky, said this bill is nothing short of a cut and run in the fight against Al-Qaeda. Well, if we know who these guys are and we know it's Al-Qaeda, why don't we just go get them? We only have 150,000 troops in Iraq.
Well, that's what I would prefer to see us doing. The whole adventure in Iraq has been a diversion from the attempt to really protect us from Al-Qaeda, if in fact that's who attacked us on 9/11. All right, so he went on to say that if a Democrat is elected president, he or she would cut back on surveillance of terrorists. Now, Rudy, keep in mind that a lot of that surveillance has been on Americans and is flatly unconstitutional. And I guess he wants us to believe that, those pesky constitutional rights really should be given up because we'll be much safer with a daddy figure like Rudy Giuliani in the White House.
Not only that, Peter, but intelligence has so little effect at predictive intelligence. It's always after the fact. It's always investigative intelligence where they go in and they find out how something happened. The FBI was called by flight schools that said, we're suspicious of these characters who are learning how to fly aircraft but not do any landings. The FBI did nothing with that information. If Giuliani's elected president, that won't change. The CIA had been following these guys. Did they tell anybody? No. You have to know a terrorist is a terrorist in order to intercept him. And if you know he's a terrorist because you have good evidence or probable cause, there's no issue with surveilling this guy.
That's correct.
So he's talking crap on top of crap.
Right. And I want to be very clear because I am deeply opposed to the invasion of the privacy of Americans. But the law that exists, if it's followed by the Bush administration or anybody else, permits them to tap phones, monitor people's internet, and also just tail them with human beings if there is probable cause that they are involved in some sort of terrorist or other illegal activity that threatens the United States. They don't need new laws. They don't need to break the old laws. The law, the FISA law, is written so broadly, and attorney Martin Garbus was on just before you joined us, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
In his new book, he describes the way the FISA process works. And, you know, it's a windowless courtroom at the Justice Department. A rotating panel of judges comes through. There is no scrutiny, no possibility of appeal. And this operation has only turned down two requests for surveillance by the Bush administration since September 11th.
Not only that, Peter, but Giuliani is trying to portray himself and Republicans as some kind of Rambo. They're going to be able to see into the future. They're going to be able to tell by looking at somebody if he's a terrorist or not. And given the full weight of our intelligence agencies and enough money, we should be able to predict which people living in our society are going to be terrorists or supporters of terrorists. And that's what they're trying to convince the American people. The American people should be very scared by this, because in practice what happens is they take 10 people randomly because they have funny names. They take them to a cold, dark place. They beat them with a rubber hose, and then they let those 10 go, and then they go get another 10. And eventually somebody with a story that's convincing is going to pop out of that group of 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 1,000. How many people do we have to figuratively and literally beat with rubber hoses before we find somebody who's saying, oh, yeah, by the way, I was planning a terrorist attack, and if you stop beating me with that hose, I'm willing to blow myself up and kill myself and drive a car bomb and crash an airplane into a building, but if you beat me with that rubber hose, then, you're going to get me. I'm going to tell you everything that I'm planning. And it's ridiculous.
Yes,
and I don't know why Americans are not so sensitive to this, to just hoot him off the stage.
All right. His final whopper here is that if a Democrat's elected president, he or she would restrict the ability of law enforcement officials to gather intelligence and limit interrogation techniques, curtailing their effectiveness. Just driving home the point you just made.
Tying their hands. When a prosecutor says, when you bring me a bust, I want it to be a rock solid bust so I can get a conviction. Don't bring me crap. And what Giuliani's saying is that, bring me crap. We'll get a conviction no matter how we do it.
Yep. We'll maintain the veneer of, being tough on crime and being effective. because, well, that's what Republicans do.
And we'll clean up the streets and we'll point to the prisons that are full of people. And if you look at the people, they got caught with dope. That's their biggest offense. And they're in prison for a long time. It's ridiculous, and it's real frustrating for me.
Scott Duke is here with us on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you have a comment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Scott, Tuesday, remarkable testimony on Capitol Hill before Henry Waxman's Reform and Oversight Committee. Kevin Tillman gave a speech that we played portions of on the program that day, and I was really struck by how angry he and Mary Tillman are and how much of a right they have to that anger.
Well, no doubt about it. They have every right to be extremely disappointed, which to me will last a lot longer than anger at the government. You know, they're grieving for their son and brother, and he was there on the battlefield with his brother, couldn't do anything to stop it. There's got to be a lot of emotion in there. And the way our government and our military, I'm just so disappointed. And it's completely predictable, Peter, because there are lieutenant colonels and colonels in that chain of command that are scared to make mistakes because they don't want to lose their jobs. And so they do the wrong thing instead of saying, you know, I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. And then Jessica Lynch's was even, I think, in a way, more compelling because she said there was plenty of heroism on that battlefield that day without the hype and the lies concerning me. And there's no reason for our government and the military and the Pentagon to do to me what they did. And it's not fair to the people who did fight to the last bullet, who did fight till they were killed. And it's, she said the hype is, you know, is never as heroic as the truth. And that's something that the Pentagon, and it was all, you know, it came under Dumsfeld. Send us some feel-good stories. Get us something to convince the American people that what we're doing there is right, and we're land of the free, home of the brave, it's patriotism, blah. There's even a book now, How to Make Your Kid into a Patriot, How to Raise a Patriot in the United States. It's just brainwashing and convincing people that the truth is not what's important. What's important is the fashion, the way it looks. And the military is guilty of that as much as the Republicans.
Well, and Rummy and the gang were confident in the way that they manufactured the so-called evidence, the intelligence that was used to support the decision to go to war to begin with. So they have no problem manufacturing new evidence to support the phony evidence that they used to get us into this war.
I don't think there's the 35%. If you look at Bush's job ratings, it's 60% in some cases disapprove, 35% approve. I don't know who those people are, and I'm not sure you could tell them anything that they wouldn't say. It's all just media lies, or it's a political fight, or the Democrats are playing politics with a war. And I'm not sure when these, I have to call them idiots because I don't know how else to describe them. When people that are in the Republican side of the aisle talk about the war that we're waging, what war is it that they're talking about? It's a question. It's a rhetorical question, and it's an actual question. Tell me what war it is we're fighting.
Well, they don't really have a simple answer to that. Some of them will say, oh, it's the war on terror. You know, we were attacked. And other people have other rationales for the war in Iraq. And then there's some that just blindly support the president. I don't want to embarrass my neighbor, but she was over last night. We had a couple of glasses of wine. She's a longtime Republican. And the TV was on, and there was some coverage of John McCain. And she said, well, what do you think of McCain? I said, well, not much. I said, and he's gambling that the war is going to be his key to a presidential victory. And she really seemed puzzled. She thinks that, you know, Bush is doing the right thing, and she simply buys the party line. And I think there are a lot of people who really don't think below the surface on a lot of those issues. And maybe I'm, you know, generalizing from one case, but it seems to hold up in many respects. The other thing I wanted to mention on this, Scott, is that we spoke to the mother of a soldier who died in Iraq, a tanker, and I know you were a tanker, who was killed in really what we'd call a combat accident. He was in combat, and one of the guns in his tank went off, and the ricochet killed him. But she was not told the truth, Karen Meredith, about her son's death for 15 months. And while he wasn't a Pat Tillman, you know, NFL star, and they didn't try to build a myth around what had occurred, they didn't tell her the truth from day one, and she's still not sure why 15 months later they decided that they better tell her the truth. But it shows that a lot of games have been played with the families who have lost loved ones in this war.
I had a boss who said, you know, bad news does not get better with age. Get it out and let people know the truth. If they're going to be extended for 15 months, tell them right now. Tell them to their face. Tell them, yeah, you know, I'm screwing you, and I made the decision to screw you, and I think it's a good decision, and we're going to support it. You know, be honest and be upfront. That's the only way troops can maintain their focus. If they know that the higher-ups have their best interests at heart, that they're looking out for them, and they're making tough decisions that eventually are going to get them home safe. And when you see this idiocy going on, then the troops, I think, no matter what the Democrats can say for the Democratic approach, that what's killing them are the Republican idiots like Boehner and the rest of those guys.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. And you can email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to 70 Minute in the Morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
All righty, let's take a look at traffic and give you the latest. We're going to cruise on over to beautiful and exciting Castroville. Chaffee Lane at Castroville Boulevard. Two-car crash involved in an accident there. Then we want to take a look at Pajaro Bishop Street at Salinas Road. It is a two-vehicle crash. Actually, it looks like the roadway is blocked at this point, and CHP is, in fact, on the way to the scene. They should be there by now. Also want to take a look at Prunedale, southbound 101 at Passante. It is a disabled truck, and it's a pickup truck blocking the left turn lane, and that's exactly what we know as of right now. No problems on Highway 17, no major stalls or accidents. And we're going to let you know this report brought to you by PG&E. Right now, get up to a $75 rebate for a new high-efficiency clothes washer brought to you by PG&E.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I remain your humble host. We're talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues.
Well,
sun. It is taking hold in that
Scott, you remember a few years back over at the Pentagon, John Poindexter, who had been pardoned for his misdeeds in the Iran-Contra affair, was rehabilitated, and they put him in charge of TIA, the Total Information Awareness Program, which was a data mining operation that, ran into a lot of trouble, and apparently they changed the name of it, and Poindexter disappeared. But this week, it was announced that the Pentagon, now under Robert Gates, is planning to dismantle one of the database operations that they had set up called Operation Talon, which was monitoring civil liberties groups and others who appear to have been critical of the Pentagon. I consider that a positive step.
I do, too. I don't know what the purpose of that monitoring was. If it was just to get out of what they call get inside the decision cycle so they could see what was coming forward, you know, coming out of the rhetoric that was coming out of those anti-war groups so they could respond quickly, that's one thing. But if it's to harass or to plant, you know, like the Dirty Tricks campaign that the FBI engaged against the civil rights movement, if that's the case, then I think there's some criminal investigations that should go on. If it's just to make sure that no terrorists are under those beds, then it's more silly than it is effective.
Yeah, most of what is publicly known about the Talon database came from an American Civil Liberties Union suit under the Freedom of Information Act, and they were monitoring church groups and anti-war marches in Akron, Ohio, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the quotes I wanted to mention before we get out of here today, Peter, is somebody who sounds responsible. Is Representative David Dreier, Republican of California, said, "It's been ugly, it's been difficult, it has been very painful." And my question is, for whom? We all feel the toll that has been taken and are fully aware of the price we are paying, especially in a human sense. But we do not honor those who have sacrificed by abandoning the mission. You know, if you just take that apart, that's just some tripe. That's war is honor, and we're going to honor our dead and maimed and mutilated and mentally ill by maiming, killing, and putting our guys that are mentally ill and gals back into combat. That's how we're going to honor them.
Well, we're trying to fight it, and if we can, we'll play it. There's a powerful clip from Congressman Jack Murtha as he takes on a Republican. I don't know if it was Dreier in particular, but he starts pretty emotional, not screaming, but he's certainly raising his voice on the House floor and saying that, we don't know what the troops are going through. We're here in an air-conditioned building inside the Beltway. And he was very, very passionate about those remarks. And like I say, if we can find them, we'll put them on the air here on the PBC show. Bill joins us from Montana. Thanks for your call, Bill. You're on the air with Peter B. and Scott Dick.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Quickly, I'm of the Vietnam generation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, Scott's sounds fairly knowledgeable on tactics and stuff. I'm just wondering if, with the insurgents in Iraq becoming more and more sophisticated, are we setting up our guys for another Tet offensive by spreading them out into these little police stations all over?
Well, that
it's something that's just been worrying me for a while.
Well, whenever you have isolated units like that, they're going to be supported by rapid reaction groups. I've been part of when I was in the Marine Corps, part of a rapid reaction force, and it's ugly. I mean, you basically sleep with your boots on for 24 hours while you're on shift. And the classic is to attack a isolated post and then ambush the rapid reaction force. So therein lies, you know, without the tanks and Bradleys they need for a rapid reaction force, you know, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a minor attack. And I think the Viet Cong did this with some success. And then when helicopters came in, they were prepared not to attack the base camp, the fire camps, but the troops coming in on the helicopters because they're vulnerable in that last stage of unloading and liftoff.
Well, and we've seen in Iraq, they've gotten more clever, where they'll do a single suicide car bombing, and when U.S. and Iraqi forces respond to that, a second one is detonated either nearby or driven into the group that has responded to the first.
And, you know, Peter, what something just popped into my little pea brain now is I wonder how much intelligence work is going on the mercenaries that are operating on the insurgent Al-Qaeda side. And I use a slash there between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're professional mercenaries from all different, you know, schemes. They're from the DDR, the ex-DDR. They went to the French Foreign Legion. They're French Foreign Legion. I think there was a Brit who was consulting with the Taliban who was not, you know, a fundamentalist Muslim. He was there as a mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
We've had professional mercenaries all over Africa and South America working with various groups. And it just seems like they're getting more sophisticated, not because it's organic, homegrown kind of, you know, analysis, but they're getting training.
Mm-hmm.
We know that our helicopter pilots have had to completely change when they fly, where they fly, how they fly, based on success that the bad guys have had shooting them down.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned that the longer this lasts, the more sophisticated the enemy is going to be because they're paying people to train them, whether they're Syrian or Brit or German or Russian or Czech or...
Right. Hey, Bill, thanks for your call from Montana. And I can't announce it, but we got word today that a radio station in Montana is going to pick up our show in June. So thanks for listening online, and we'll be in touch when we have an announcement about an affiliate there in Montana. Scott, thanks for joining us again today. Have a great trip to Germany, and we'll talk to you in 3 or 4 weeks.
Peter, I want to say I want people to look at www.tastyplanet.org. I will be sending updates, and I'm going to have a couple tapes.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. Starting May 14th, The Ed Schultz Show moves to 9 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540. So join us for the best in talk radio, news, commentary, and your calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be on The Ed Schultz Show, 9 a.m. to noon, starting May 14th, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. A wartime standoff between the White House and Congress, and today the battle line was drawn when the Senate joined the House in calling for a withdrawal deadline. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein with more on the debate from Washington.
This is a classic case of micromanagement, where the Congress is trying to set dates.
Mississippi Republican Trent Lott just before the Senate voted on funding for Iraq.
By a vote of 51-46, the conference report is adopted.
Democrats attached a timetable for withdrawal. Majority Leader Harry Reid urged President Bush to sign it.
We hope the president will reconsider his stubbornness and his refusal to listen to the American people.
Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, though, says the bill is a terrorist dream.
It is a mandate for a defeat that Al-Qaeda desperately wants.
Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The White House response from spokeswoman Dana Perino.
As he said he would for weeks, the president will veto this legislation. And he looks forward to working with congressional leaders to craft a bill that he can sign.
The commander of U.S. forces in Iraq, General David Petraeus, told Pentagon reporters today that the war effort will get harder before it gets easier.
There is the very real possibility that there's going to be more combat action and that, therefore, there could be more casualties.
A CBS News New York Times poll finds a majority of Americans would prefer Congress rather than the president set a timeline for a U.S. withdrawal from Iraq, and they'd like to see it sooner rather than later. Deputy Director of Survey, Sarah Dutt.
64% of Americans would like to see the U.S. set a timetable to begin withdrawing troops sometime in 2008, and that's up from 57% 2 weeks ago.
Is Iran closer to developing a nuclear bomb than anyone thought? CBS News correspondent David Martin has this exclusive from the Pentagon.
There is a new U.S. intelligence report which says Iran has succeeded in solving some of the technical difficulties in enriching uranium and could, in fact, enrich enough uranium to build one nuclear weapon by the end of this decade, which course, just less than 3 years away.
He was a former White House aide, but Jack Valenti was probably best known for heading up the Motion Picture Association of America, which he led for 38 years. From the era of censorship through movie ratings and international piracy concerns, Valenti has died at the age of 85.
In all the years, 30-plus years, that I have tried to serve the movie industry, is every day to summon all the passion and energy that I can find to preserve, protect, and defend the creative freedoms of filmmakers.
Valenti began his career as a consultant for Vice President Johnson. He was riding in the motorcade when President Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. On Wall Street today, the Dow continuing its winning streak, finishing up 15 points at 13,105. NASDAQ Composite Index was up by 6.5. This is CBS News.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From April 26th to the 30th, save 25% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save 15% on Duration Home and Duration Exterior Coatings. And save 25% on select wall coverings, too. So hurry in. Sale ends Monday, April 30th for painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Your name means a lot to you, but in the wrong hands, it can mean more to someone else. With Wachovia, if your identity is ever stolen, dedicated fraud specialists will work with you one-on-one to help recover any lost funds. And they'll stick with you until your identity is restored. Protecting your good name. Another feature of Wachovia Free Checking. Stop by, call 800-WACHOVIA or visit Wachovia.com. Are you with Wachovia?
Free Checking is for personal accounts only. Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. members FDIC.
Two Atlanta police officers have pleaded guilty in the shooting death of an elderly woman during a so-called no-knock drug raid. Third officer still faces charges in the case. It's drawn a lot of scrutiny of police procedures. Reporter Pete Combs has that.
This new investigation, the one that the two officers who pleaded have agreed to help with, looks at police procedures, policies, and practices, the way that they go out, get drug warrants, and execute them. The suspicion among prosecutors is that the police officers have been out there like cowboys, cutting corners, not doing the job right. They may have good intentions, but the procedures are all wrong. And in this case, they say it cost a 92-year-old woman her life.
The police fired nearly 40 rounds. The commander of New Mexico's National Guard wants an apology from Army officials after the soldiers in his mostly Hispanic unit, while in Kuwait, were ordered to strip down and were searched for gang tattoos. The Army claims the searches were proper. The commander says race was an issue. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time professional-looking documents. And WorkLife Rewards members receive 15% back on qualified design, print, and ship depot purchases. Just bring us your document or go online at OfficeDepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's a typical day in every way. Work, stress, pressure. And then at night, you're thinking about tomorrow.
I just can't sleep.
Put your day away the Unisom way. Unisom is clinically proven to ease you into your healthy sleep cycle so you get to sleep faster and sleep longer. You'll wake up refreshed, revitalized, restored.
So how is everybody today?
Tonight, get ready to take on your day the Unisom way.
Use as directed.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, we're taking a ride in the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome, and we pay for the call. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You know the rules. You can call on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, even if you're cruising I-5 way above the limit. No, it's the law. You can't drive 55 on I-5. And And a caravan of progressive Democrats has gathered in San Diego, where tomorrow the state Democratic convention kicks off for the weekend. And these progressive Democrats have an agenda. And on their table, just like on my table, is the subject of impeachment, among others. We turn first to Tim Carpenter, a progressive Democrats of America, and a guy who is active on many fronts. Tim, how are you today?
Good evening, Peter. Great. How are you guys doing?
Not bad. How was the ride down to San Diego?
Well, I've been last week in Washington, D.C. I can say it's much sunnier and a little warmer here on the West Coast.
Great. Well, tell us what the mood is and what you and your cohorts are planning to do.
Well, progressive Democrats of America have been very busy since March 30th. We've begun what we're calling a organize and mobilize the progressive vote in anticipation of the convention, as you mentioned, tomorrow. March 30th, we gathered in Orange County with Cindy Sheehan and John Nichols to talk about impeachment and to organize ourselves to bring an authentic anti-war voice to the convention. And since then, we've been in Northern California. I believe that Steve Cobble was on your show when we were up in San Francisco.
That's right.
Over on the East Bay. We've been in Los Angeles twice. Riverside, Orange County, Long Beach, and tonight we'll conclude in San Diego. And the energy level is high. Progressives are excited to be taking a real, authentic progressive message to the state party to challenge the eight presidential candidates who will conclude their debate tonight and join us down in San Diego.
Yeah. And we've been covering the issues related to Dennis Kucinich's courageous move to introduce a bill of impeachment. And it appears that we're one of the few outlets that's covering this, Tim. The Washington Post had one dismissive Dana Milbank column. The New York Times has not deigned to even mention the effort that Mr. Kucinich announced on Tuesday.
Well, once again, Peter, thank you for letting the listeners know the real news that's out there. It's not too surprising that the corporate media would have missed it, but as you said, Dennis has really stepped up now and put impeachment on the table. The three articles that he's introduced will help us to move forward now as we begin here in California with the presidential season coming up, and more importantly, in our towns across the country. I reside out in Western Mass, where just last night in the town of Wheatley, we passed our resolution, similar to what Dan DeWalt's been doing up in Vermont. It's indicative of what we're finding out here across the country as citizenry's ready for this movement, and we're really excited that Congressman Kucinich has really stepped up now to move the ball forward.
Well, and another case of the public being ahead of our elected leaders on a very critical issue.
Well, from the beginning, David Swanson, I know who's been on your show and who's one of the board members here at PDA and one of my friends who helped find after Downing Street, has worked tirelessly on this effort with a real vanguard movement that has worked tirelessly and endlessly to continue to push this. And, yes, the general public has been way ahead of the inside the Beltway, and I think we'll find this weekend here in San Diego at the Democratic Convention, we're very optimistic and hopeful that we'll be able to pass a resolution here at the statewide level to put this party on record. And again, the delegates here are ready for that.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Tim, anything you want to add before you pass the phone?
No, I just, again, thank you for the opportunity and encourage folks that can't be with us this weekend to visit the Progressive Democrat America website, pdamerica.org, and follow us on the blog and stay in touch. And we appreciate the opportunity. I'm going to pass the phone over to Dr. Bill Honigman, our state coordinator, here in a minute.
Great.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You bet, Tim. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And the web address, pdamerica.org. Go there for the latest on this effort. Dr. Bill Honigman's picking up the phone now. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Let me ask you to address one of the issues that many of us are concerned about, which is, what do you think is the right approach to persuade Nancy Pelosi that it is time for impeachment and that she should, even if she can't personally support it, she should get out of the way and let John Conyers fully evaluate, investigate, and hold accountable the misdeeds of the Bush administration up to and including impeachment and removal?
Yeah, well, that's a terrific question. And then, you know, we're bringing a whole array of progressive Democrat leaders from California to the convention just for that purpose. And, you know, we feel that the PDA, you know, especially in PDA California, feels we represent the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, and we're trying to take that message to Nancy and show her that she has support from Democrats statewide, all the way from, you know, from Reading all the way to the Mexican border. We've got progressive Democrats and, you know, nooks and crannies, places like Riverside, Laguna Beach, San Luis Obispo, Oxnard, you know, all the way up to the Bay Area is, you know, very strong there with progressive Democrats. So we're taking that message to Nancy, and that we think, you know, that impeachment is on the table just as much as the Constitution is on the table.
Yeah. And I also believe there's a very strong case to be made that impeachment is not optional in this case. We're not talking about a private peccadillo of the president. We're talking about intentional violations of the law and intentional violations of the president's and vice president's constitutional oaths of office.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. And so, you know, in discussions that we're having in our communities all across California, you know, that resounds at the water cooler. People know that this is a whole new standard of violation. You know, this is a high crime and high crimes and misdemeanors that we're talking about here, you know, as opposed to what happened previously. So if this is a rogue government, a rogue branch of government that needs to be removed, and that's the only way we're going to get out of Iraq, you know, in particular, then that's what's got to be done. And Democrats or progressive Democrats are here in San Diego to point that out this weekend.
Well, and tell me if you agree. I believe that it trumps partisanship. I think that irrespective of the consequences, and I understand that it's possible for an impeachment process to spin out of control and that resourceful Republicans could find a way to twist it into a victory for Republicans either at the House or Senate or even at the presidential level in 2008. And even with that risk, I argue that we have no choice but to hold these people accountable. Otherwise, we are giving tacit approval to their crimes and encouragement to future administrations to do more of the same.
Well, that's absolutely true, Peter. And actually what we're seeing in district offices, you know, across California, I think across America now, you know, more and more Republicans are distancing themselves from this administration because it is a rogue administration. They have every intention of staying in Iraq and violating more and more of our constitutional rights. And, you know, that can't be allowed to go on.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Bill, I know you're there to coalesce the grassroots, so fire them up and get them to sing on tune, and let's get that message across to Speaker Pelosi and the other Democratic leaders.
Thank you, Peter. We're going to have a good time doing that, too.
All right. Let me talk to Jeff Cohen next. This is quite a crew. This is quite an impressive crew of progressive Democrats gathering to press our points in San Diego at this state convention this weekend.
Hello.
Jeff Cohen, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, it's nice to be with you.
Cable News Confidential, his most recent book. And,
yep.
Jeff, last night we were watching the Bill Moyer special where your former host at MSNBC, the show that you produced, Phil Donahue, made some very cogent comments. What did you think about the Moyer special?
Moyer special was very strong. A lot of it is based on research from FAIR, the Media Watch group I started.
Yep.
And obviously those documents about why NBC muzzled Phil Donahue, the political timidity, the fear of having anti-war dissidents on, all of those documents that leaked out, they're all in my book, and it was just great to see it on public TV. Public TV is usually as wimpy and timid as the rest of the elite media, but Bill Moyers is almost, you know, a legendary maverick. He's what public broadcasting should be, but only is once in a blue moon.
Well, and it's a little bit of offset for the egregious insult to the American public of giving Richard Perle a public television platform just a week ago.
Of course. And, well, and just think about it. A bunch of people noticed that while we know Bill Moyers is privately very, very critical of the NewsHour, it didn't get much criticism.
Yeah.
And the NewsHour's coverage in the run-up to the Iraq War was abysmal. The news coverage on national public radio, so-called, which people at the time were calling NPR, National Pentagon Radio, very few dissenting voices. And, you know, FAIR did a recent survey of the NewsHour. The end of 05, the beginning of 06, a six-month survey for every one guest they had advocating withdrawal of troops from Iraq, a very popular position, the NewsHour had five advocates of stay the course. So the bias continues. And I think it's important that And Norman Solomon made this comment in the Moyers documentary last night that, you know, the media are very good. He made it in a lecture last night. The media are very good in 2007 talking about how the media screwed up in 2002. But mainstream media aren't so good in 2007 talking about the continuing biases that go on today.
Well, and Jeff Cohen, one of the key points that we're making here is that the Denis Kucinich impeachment proposal has not gotten any major media corporate coverage.
Well, and when it does, it's gotten a tiny bit, and it's been all ridicule. The Washington Post had an article yesterday where they were commenting on the fact that Denis Kucinich in tall shoes is only 5'6". What the hell does that have to do with impeachment? What the hell does that have to do with the crimes that have been committed by Dick Cheney and this Bush-Cheney regime? So, again, it's always little coverage, and the coverage they get is just ridicule coverage instead of serious coverage. You're completely right.
Yeah. Jeff Cohen, thanks for joining us. I got to take a break, so ask Norman to grab the phone, and we'll talk to him right after the break, okay?
Okay. Sounds great.
That's Jeff Cohen. He's the one of the founders of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting on the web at fair.org. His latest book is Cable News Confidential, and it's a whole crew of progressives gathering in San Diego, site of the Democratic State Convention this weekend. We'll talk to Norman Solomon for a couple of minutes after the break and then go to your calls. So grab a line here in the Free Speech Zone, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
How you doing, everybody? Let's take a look at traffic and give you the latest on this Thursday evening. A little bit of activity going on, and we'll give you all of it right now. Pajaro, Bishop Street at Salinas Road. We have a fender bender working there. Two vehicles involved in this accident, and it's blocking the roadway. CHP is seeing they're taking a report right now. Castroville, Chaffee Lane at Castroville Boulevard. There's a two-car crash. It's on the right shoulder. And if you're in Prunedale, heads up there because we have a problem southbound 101 at Passante. It's a pickup truck blocking the left turn lane. CHP is there. They're waiting for a tow truck. They're trying to deal with this problem. In Monterey, Highway 68 at Highway 1, it is a fender bender there. Two cars, and a CHP is also present there. The support brought to you by Wells Fargo Bank. Open a Wells Fargo home equity account today. You get a free home improvement kit. Well, you'll find lots of great money-saving ideas from Wells Fargo.
One, two, three.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them.
We're taking your calls in the free speed zone. We'll get to the lines in just a couple of minutes, so join us now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. One more voice from San Diego. It's Norman Solomon. He's the author of the book War Made Easy. And if you watched the Bill Moyers special on PBS last night, he was prominently featured. Hello, Norman.
Hey, Peter. Yeah, this is Jeff Cohen.
Oh,
we, you know, we're barreling down here toward San Diego, stopped at a restaurant. Norman's been kidnapped.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
you are the one who heard it first. No one knows where he is.
Uh-oh.
We're at a restaurant. We're watching the debate. We're on our way to the convention. But I have Mimi Kennedy that wants to talk to you.
Okay, great.
You know, Mimi is the board chair of Progressive Democrats of America. She's an actor on TV, movies, and theater, and she played the hippie mom on Dharma and Greg.
Right.
I'll pass you right over to Mimi Kennedy, a great peace activist.
All right, and good luck finding Norman. Hi, Mimi.
Pete, how are you? Yeah, we're looking for Norman. We're pretty sure he's on his cell phone, having lost track of the time. He went on a little walk around here in San Diego.
Well, that's fine. Mimi, tell me about your efforts to galvanize people, particularly around a resolution supporting impeachment first of Vice President Cheney.
Well, PDA is proud of the fact that we've been talking about impeachment for quite some time. David Swanson, who's a member of our board, started with the afterdowningstreet.org after those minutes came out where it clearly said the facts were being fixed around the policy, and it became clear we were lied into war. And now as the investigations continue into things like that there have been 400 and some computers running for the Republican National Party under the White House roof, and I don't know if all 400 are under the roof, but the outing of a CIA agent as punishment for someone opposing the war, we understand that there have been high crimes and misdemeanors. So the California Democratic Party, about 50% of the delegates this year self-identify as progressives, and many of them are in the Progressive Caucus, which is now the largest caucus of delegates from all the all the assembly districts in California. So we're the efforts have been to persuade people to talk about it, to normalize talk of impeachment, to find out that it's not revenge, it's not being soft on crime, is what it is. In 21 months of 85 U.S. military dead and countless Iraqis, a month is too much human bloodshed to save the careers of two politicians, George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Well, and see, I believe that it transcends their personal fate and their own misfortunes. I believe that we need to set an example about what is intolerable behavior on the part of our elected officials. And if the Democrats punt on this and say, oh, gosh, you know, the election's coming up, that's how we'll fix this, I'm sorry, I don't support that. I think that crimes have been committed. There is a great deal of evidence. It should be fully investigated by the Conyers Judiciary Committee, and he should not be restricted in the event, and I consider it a likely event, that the evidence leads to an indictment of the sitting vice president.
That's right. And, of course, what we have is the White House defying subpoenas for executive privilege, and we're right back with the 18 minutes of missing tape at Watergate, and the Supreme Court then deciding that the president is not above the law. Now, you realize when Roberts and Alito were both confirmed that the progressive community was screaming, but their attitude towards the unitary executive leads us to believe that they would rule for executive privilege, and then where are we? The thing that might make this a little bit different is some of this business was conducted on Republican Party computers specifically because the White House was aware there was supposed to be a division between political and governmental business, and they seem to have ignored that. So this is not executive privilege, as, you know, we can't have the information because it's part of White House governance. It's the Republican Party. So it's a tangled web. But the thing is also the value of precedent, as we know from the Supreme Court, is huge. And if we let this administration violate the Constitution and we set as a precedent for some future government, well, you never got the this administration for that. Everybody agreed it was necessary for national security, and it still is. What we've done is crumpled up the Constitution, just a piece of paper, as I believe George Bush flippantly said. I read that quote, that he said that, and I never saw the context of the original quote, but it seems I would impeach him just for having said that.
Well, and anyway, under the FCC rules, we're actually allowed to quote him. He said, it's just a goddamn piece of paper.
Yeah, wow. And was was that on TV?
No, it goddamn is not on the list. We're allowed to say that without getting a fine.
Well, I must have been doing PDA business pretty heavily at my computer that day because I missed that on the radio.
Mimi, but anyway, sorry we're out of time here. I got to run to a break. Thanks for your advocacy and keep pushing.
Thank you, Peter.
Mimi Kennedy, Progressive Democrats of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. Coach, do you know what's special about this Tuesday?
Let me guess, Hal, it's May Day.
It sure is. It's also the day when Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its grand reopening. From 5 to 7 p.m., stop by 173 Central Avenue in Pacific Grove.
Tina didn't change any of the recipes, did she?
Of course not. The staff's the same, too, and the prices are beyond reasonable. But the setting is even more comfortable and attractive.
Support locally owned and operated businesses, local artists, and KRXA 540 AM. On May 1st, May Day, from 5 to 7 p.m., enjoy the grand reopening of Central Avenue Bakery at the corner of Central Ave and Dewey in PG.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Every 60 seconds, some 60,000 chemical reactions must take place in every one of the 80 trillion cells of your body. Every one of those reactions requires one enzyme or another as a catalyst, and your body should make those enzymes from our food, but often can't because of decline in food quality. Native enzymes provide those precursors so that your body can make the right enzymes at the right time. Your health depends on it. Call 1-866-972-3461.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 AM, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Lines are open for you right now in the free speed zone. No more guests or interruptions the rest of the show, so call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Are you ready? Are you steady? Can we go? There's a new assault on constitutional rights and insult to the American people. As if the Bush administration has not denied enough rights to the detainees at Guantanamo Bay, they have a new plan to make it a bigger black hole than it is even today. Lead story on the front page of the New York Times today. The Justice Department has asked a federal appeals court to impose tighter restrictions on lawyers who represent detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Under the proposal filed in the U.S. District Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, the government would limit lawyers to 3 visits with an existing client at Guantanamo. Currently, there's no limit. It would permit only a single visit with a detainee to have him authorize a lawyer to handle his case. And it would permit a team of intelligence officers and military lawyers not involved in a detainee's case to read mail sent to him by his lawyer. The proposal would also reverse existing rules to permit government officials on their own to deny the lawyers access to secret evidence used by military panels to determine that their clients were enemy combatants. Now, this is so insidious. Can you imagine? You're a detainee at Guantanamo, and they say a lawyer's coming to see you, and he can only visit you once, and you have to decide in this first meeting whether you want this person to represent you or not. And, of course, somebody at Guantanamo can't call the local bar association and say, I need a lawyer. Can't call the public defender and say, I'm indigent, I need representation. These people have no resources whatsoever and cannot communicate with the outside world. And then they say that after this first meeting, where a detainee is essentially forced to accept the attorney, there can only be 3 subsequent visits. Now, this is another denial of what few shreds of rights remain for those declared unlawful enemy combatants and held at Guantanamo. And we have seen, when the population peaked at up about 800 a couple of years ago, most of those people have gone home, uncharged in almost every case. And the one example we saw, David Hicks of Australia, He attended an Al-Qaeda training camp, never picked up a gun, never attacked an American anywhere in the world. They held him for 5 years. And finally, he had enough of the kangaroo court crap, pled guilty to a single charge with a plea deal that let him go home to Australia to serve out the rest of his sentence. But before that, they made him sign an agreement that he hadn't been tortured, which he did. But we all know it's a lie. And I am just outraged again. And this is another reason why impeachment cannot be taken off the table. These goons will keep doing this crap until somebody throws up a legal roadblock. And that's why I believe that impeachment must move forward. I can't guarantee the outcome, and I don't presume to know that. But avoiding impeachment or actively preventing it is the wrong move for the Democrats. And if they continue in this mode, they're going to lose the narrow margins that they won last November. I'd like to hear your comments, and most of my lines are open right now, so don't be shy. Pick up your phone, that fancy cell phone. You can program in my toll-free number. It's 1-888-573-8372. And the easy way to remember it, 888-5-PETER-B. Hope that's helpful to you. Like to hear from you today, and don't be shy about sharing your opinion. And if I can get my mouse to cooperate here, I can get to the screen and see who's on line one right now. Come on, mouse, do it for me. There we go. It's Jake in Arcata. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Peter B., how you doing?
I'm doing all right today.
Hey, first let me just get this out of the way. Dennis Kucinich for president. You know, I don't see anybody else out there who even comes close. This is the guy who stands up on all the issues that matter to progressives. And why the corporate media is pretending like his campaign isn't even happening is beyond me. I mean, not only do they pretend that the impeachment resolution against Cheney was not introduced, they pretend that Dennis Kucinich doesn't even exist, Peter.
Just about.
Yeah, and it's absolutely ridiculous because Kucinich has a lot of support. In fact, it may not register in the national polls yet, but just talking, you know, to people here on the ground, he's got a lot of people who are ready and willing to go to work for him here just in Humboldt County.
He is the clearest, most consistent, most outspoken opponent of the variety of lawbreaking of this administration. And he has been right all along. And I'm the first to admit I like Dennis Kucinich and I agree with him. And I recognize that for whatever reason, the chemistry has not yet developed between him and a mass in the Democratic Party. But that is, you know, not a prophecy. And I believe that the media looks at him and says, well, he doesn't raise a lot of money. He's not a pretty boy. He's not polling in the, you know, front three. Therefore, we'll just ignore him because that's what's going to work for us. And I believe that, you know, we really need to hold the media's proverbial feet to the fire and make sure that every one of these contenders, including Mike Gravel, Mike is the first to tell you he's not going to make it to the, he's not going to win the nomination at the convention. But we've been talking to Mike Gravel for over a year. And I believe that he has the right positions. He has a very interesting approach to introducing a national referendum that could allow American voters to bypass the Congress on issues that they refuse to deal with, like universal single-payer health care. And again, you know, Gravel doesn't have millions of dollars. He doesn't have the poll numbers, but he is a fine American. He is a bona fide candidate, and he deserves to be heard on equal footing with Hillary and Barack and John Edwards and anybody else.
Absolutely, I agree. I mean, if they're going to give Rudy Giuliani a platform, they can give Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel a platform.
Yeah.
You know, regardless
now,
of whether
just,
or not...
Just one point I wanted to interject here, because during the commercial break, Brian, our producer here, was giving me some updates on the debate that's underway. I'm taping it at home, and I'll watch it tonight. We'll comment on it on the show tomorrow. But Kucinich was asked if he hasn't kind of marginalized himself And he fought back and shot back with a very strong comment about how, you know, he's the one who voted against the war from the beginning, and that there isn't a colleague on that panel with him who can make the same claim.
That's right. If anybody's marginalized himself inside the Democratic Party, it's Hillary Clinton, not Dennis Kucinich.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You know, let's be honest about that. And to go on with the impeachment resolution against Cheney, I mean, I think it's absolutely brilliant that Kucinich included basically a preemptive strike against the Bush administration on Iran. And unfortunately, you know, like you know, Peter, there's a lot of so-called moderate Democrats who are not taking the prospect of a war with Iran seriously. I mean, hell, we have John McCain singing Beach Boys tunes, you know, singing Bomb Iran. But still, there's some Democrats out there, like our own Congressman Mike Thompson, who aren't taking this prospect seriously. When the neocons have made it clear from the start, even before they came into power, that Iran was on their target list. And if we don't impeach Bush and Cheney, Peter, I'm afraid that they will, in fact, start a war with Iran.
Yeah, well, and I think that is a smart move on the part of Kucinich to include that as one of his three articles of impeachment against Cheney.
Absolutely. And I just hope the Democrats, I know the Democrats in the country, the actual Democratic voters, really do support impeachment. I look at the polls, it's like 80% of Democrats support impeachment. Over 50% of the public now supports impeachment generally. You know, why these Democratic politicians who are so scared of Bush back in Washington, why they can't get a clue? Peter, you know, I don't understand.
No, me either, Jake. Well, we're going to keep the pressure on every way we can.
That's right.
Thanks for your call today. Now to Harvey in Eureka. Welcome, Harvey. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I wanted to make a couple of comments on the obstruction to the impeachment. You know, Nancy Pelosi. I could see her position there, that she wouldn't want to be involved in the impeachment, but she could step down. They could create a committee of the whole. They could appoint someone else to conduct the impeachment proceedings, so that she would not have to be, in the focus of the impeachment.
Well, Harvey, first of all, the way that Kucinich has set this up, it is at this point only focused on Vice President Cheney. And if the process ran its course and the Judiciary Committee returns a bill of impeachment, the House votes it out, then there's a trial in the Senate. And if Cheney were removed at that point, Nancy Pelosi would not succeed him. He would be replaced by a new appointed vice president, appointed by Bush and confirmed by the Senate. So she does not have some personal conflict of interest that somehow, there's a double impeachment planned and then she would succeed if both Bush and Cheney were removed. That's not contemplated by the process that Kucinich has initiated, and so she doesn't need to recuse herself or step back in any manner. Now, I understand that last year during the campaign, she, quote-unquote, took impeachment off the table because she didn't want it to become a weapon that Karl Rove could club her with. And he could have used misinformation or disinformation to imply that she would directly benefit from impeachment. Now that the Democrats have control of the House and narrow control of the Senate, I think it's a different set of issues. And she could simply say, I don't personally favor impeachment, but I will not impede the work of the Judiciary Committee, and I will abide by the vote of the House of Representatives.
Well, why doesn't she do that, then?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know. It's making me mad.
Well, that's why I suggested this. Now, maybe there's something else that is bothering her. You know, we've got to get her off center, you know, and get her to go with this impeachment, because, I mean, what is it, 60% of the people want it, and I don't see how she can stand there and dig in her heels when, she's holding up what everybody wants.
Well, it's clear to many of us, I understand it's not clear to every American, but it's clear to many of us that crimes have been willfully committed. And we cannot turn a blind eye. It's not an optional situation where we can say, oh, you know, that's a jaywalking violation, or, you know, that's a personal ethical problem like Clinton had. This is a serious matter of violation of the Constitution and the oaths of office that were taken by Bush and Cheney.
Well, and Cheney continues to lie and his record going to the CIA, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, it's got to be brought to a halt. That's my thought.
Gotcha, Harvey. Thank you very much for your call today.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break and return. But first, I have to choose a song to play here, or it just won't be right. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us, one caller holding, so there's room for you in the next segment. 888-573-8372, or email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
We want to welcome Assemblywoman Anna Caballero back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you very much for the invitation.
We are so glad to have you on. We were at the victory party for you, and you were so happy, and rightfully so.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right up until you asked me to leave the party. You and Lucy, that was it.
Well, it was the dancing on the table that got, you know. The TV cameras were there. It just didn't look right.
I got you.
The show on KRXA 540 AM.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, and we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
And we're going to take a look at traffic very quickly here. We're going to let you know that CHP is telling us about a problem. This reported in Monterey Highway 68 at Highway 1. Two-car crash. Everything off to the shoulder now, and CHP is, in fact, on scene. Also want to talk about, Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at M Line. The off-ramp closed 24 hours a day for road work, scheduled to continue through December 31st. No problems to report in Santa Cruz or Salinas at this time, so we're going to let you know about that as well. We're going to let you know that we do have a little bit of activity in Monterey Highway 1 southbound between Irish Canyon and Aguajito. Right lane closed for guardrail repair.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. We're number one in Big Sky Country. We got a call from Bill in Montana earlier today. And Biz checks in from Frenchtown near Missoula. Thanks for your note, Biz. She says, I'm in complete agreement with you that no matter what, impeachment proceedings against Bush and Cheney need to be carried out. And that has to do with nothing other than the preservation of this country as the democratic republic, which it has always been. Thank you for holding tight to that sense of yours, Peter B. There are undoubtedly more than just a few of us out here who are totally with you. Thank you, Biz. 888-573-8372, 1-888-5, Peter B. Dave in Eureka joins us. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Peter. It takes something very special to pull me away from your excellent show, but
the debate was at for me tonight.
Well, good. Tell me what you've been seeing. I'm going to go home and watch it on the recorder.
Yes, I figured you would. Well, I think I would rank it that the number one person that came, gained the most and was most effective and most right on was your friend Mike Gravel. He really called it like he saw it.
Mm-hmm.
He told that when I first was into the Senate, I thought, oh, I'm awesome. How did I get here? And 6 months later, I found myself asking, how did they get here? Many of the people here on this stage scare me. The military-industrial complex has had its you know, overwhelmingness. And probably in ranking it second, Dennis Kucinich is the most forthright and the most right-on, reasonable, trying to address reality. I saw Edwards is very much sincere, intelligent, and trying to do the right thing. The most, I think, came from a political perspective. You'll see that, I think, that what's the right answer to give
yeah.
to benefit myself here the most. And that is, the question was asked, how many people here on this table, this platform, will support Mr. Kucinich in his impeachment efforts? And no hand went up.
Really? Not one?
No, not even Gravel, which I believe is right. But, of course, he's not in the Senate. But.
Right. Huh, that's disappointing. It really is. I don't get it. Somebody, I'm going to have to crack into, you know, the interior of the Democratic Party. And by the way, I got a nice email from a gentleman in McKinleyville the other night saying, please find somebody who's in the Democratic Party who opposes impeachment and bring him on the show to explain why. And we're working on that, but so far we haven't found a competent person to do that. And I am puzzled. I've worked in politics. I understand the partisan considerations that surface. But I believe that impeachment is in the best interest of the country, and that if the Democrats move forward with it, it can only benefit them. Sure, there's some potential, twists, curves, backfiring, and, demonization or demagoguery that can come from the Republicans. They're very good at that. But at some point, the Democrats have to realize that the best route forward is to stand on principle, is to stand for the Constitution, and to draw a bright line there and say, this line has been crossed, and it shall not be crossed again.
Yeah, I think the Senate handled it brilliantly. He reached in his pocket and pulled out his small pocket edition of the U.S. Constitution and explained where the White House has been in violation of it. And understand you have one candidate running for president who will strive to hold these people accountable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add? Any other impressions, Dave?
Well, you're going to see it for yourself, so let me not ruin the movie for you, but I think you'll find it
all right, but there are people driving home who may not have recorded it and who won't have that, so go ahead and give your impressions. You won't ruin the ending for me.
Well, okay.
I'm certain of that.
I think... probably the one who may have benefited the most was Edwards, because they did not budget the time fairly. It has already been determined by the corporate media that Obama and Clinton are the favorites, and so most of the time would go to them, and then Edwards next. And so at one point Gravel said, I am the senior statesman here, and I'm beginning to feel like a potted plant on the end of the room.
Well, now, why didn't they have ground rules that made the time allocation more fair?
I would have thought that would have been the case, but I wasn't a party to how they had planned it out. But
yeah,
they
sure.
They felt that this corporate media has already decided it should be either Obama or Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
They are inclined to play the corporate game.
Well, that's another area where the next administration, if it's run by progressive Democrats, could make some important gains by really putting in some requirements that the media has to set aside free time for candidates and for debates, and that there are certain balance and fairness issues that have to be met. I don't want to have stringent rules that says, you know, that... They say that every candidate has to have at least 22 seconds, but if there's an hour and there are eight people, by the end of that hour, they should get roughly, you know, equivalent amounts of time to express themselves. That's simple fairness.
I definitely would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that they asked tougher questions of some than others. They hit hard on Edwards, but he was excellent. He came back with the right answers. You say you would have health insurance in this country. Where would you? How would you propose to fund it? Thank you. I would first of all rescind all tax cuts for those earning more than $200,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a forthright answer. You'd never get anything like that out of Clinton or Obama.
Right, yeah. All right, Dave, well, thanks for checking in, and I appreciate your report.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
And I am looking forward. You might be able to find a replay on MSNBC later tonight. I don't know what they're planning to do exactly. Instead of those awful crime documentaries that they show, it'd be nice if they rerun the debate. Not sure they will. You might check C-SPAN, too, and see if they cover it as well. End notes today. Bill Gates wants to make education a central issue of the 2008 political race. He and Eli Broad, a tract housing billionaire from Los Angeles, Sun America, KB Homes, you may recognize his name, they have joined forces, and they're planning to spend $60 million to promote education as an important issue. Their slogan is Ed in 08. Remember, wasn't there some TV show or a movie based on a guy named Ed? Well, I guess they're picking up on that. Anyway, they're going to spend more money than the Swift boaters spent. Swift boat vets only spent $22 million to slime John Kerry in 2004. And Bill Gates and Eli Broad are just writing a couple of checks to put together a kitty of $60 million. So be on the lookout for TV commercials and other messages, probably a lot of stuff on the web, given Bill Gates' background, promoting education. Not opposed to it, but I think we should know the source, and I think that should be fully disclosed. I hope it will be. Well, it's been a blast. We've covered a lot. I think we'll do it again tomorrow. Will you join me? Same time, same stations. I'm Peter B.
Happy trails to until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hanger One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter Mayer, live in Orangeburg, South Carolina. The Iraq War dominates the first Democratic presidential debate of the season as the candidates pile on the administration's policies, a promise from Senator Hillary Clinton.
This president does not get us out of Iraq. When I'm president, I will.
Senator Barack Obama took a similar approach.
The American people have said, Republicans and Democrats, that it's time to end this war.
And New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson leveled one of the toughest attacks on Bush war policy.
This war is a disaster. We must end this war. This is what I would do if I were president today.
Really not much in the way of any fireworks in the MSNBC political show, the earliest debate in modern presidential election history. I'm Peter Mayer, live in Orangeburg, South Carolina, now with more CBS News. Here's Cammie McCormick.
The full Congress has now approved tying war funding to a withdrawal deadline. CBS News reporter Tom Foti was covering the debate in the Senate today.
By a vote of 51 to 46, the conference report is adopted.
Adopted mostly along party lines, but one-time Democratic vice presidential candidate Joseph Lieberman voted against the pullback deadline.
It is a deadline
for defeat.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's message to President Bush.
We know he has threatened to veto this legislation, but we hope the president will reconsider.
Reid expects to take up the issue again, minus the strings, in the coming weeks. Tom Foti, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
And with White House reaction, here's CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller.
Democrats may be timing delivery of the bill to the president on Tuesday, and that's the fourth anniversary of his address to the nation from the deck of the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln, when he said this under a banner declaring mission accomplished.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
If that false assurance is a factor in the bill's date of delivery, White House spokeswoman Dana Perino thinks it stinks.
But only lead me to conclude that they are using the troops for their own political PR stunts.
Perino said she hopes the cynicism in Congress doesn't run that deep, but she wouldn't put it past them. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Former Motion Picture Association of America President Jack Valenti has died. He was 85. He headed up that association for more than 30 years through the era of censorship, piracy, and movie ratings. He helped